About what? What sleep difference?
Well, you, apparently your time changed?
Yeah, it does that.
Okay. No, I didn't realize. I didn't realize you guys did the time yet.
Yes, we did.
But, I thought it's pretty early in the year for that, isn't it?
It is, because Bush changed it a number of years ago. He, originally, time changed in the winter or fall, like right near near Halloween. So he came up with the brilliant idea of, oh, let's extend it into November and shorten that length and start it, because it used to be, what, April for daylight savings time to start.
All of you Democrats want to blame Bush for everything, don't you?
No. Mr. Mann, can you just, all I said... I like it. I like daylight savings time. I like the fact that I can come home and it's daylight outside, Mr. Guy. I will let you know, too. I made a lot of money during the Bush 2 years because I sent all my money overseas. Just saying. In the stocks.
Oh, okay. I was wondering, it's like sending your money elsewhere.
No, I actually made money in Ireland and pulled it out before yours collapsed.
Oh, thanks, Rox.
You're welcome. You're welcome.
Somebody's joining us. She might be high, though.
Yeah, I think she's got the giggles already.
I just love coming into a conversation where, like, can't we make it littler and render it and bit it? And yeah, it's always fun to come into these combos. Hi, guys.
Hi,
I don't know how long
you?
I'll be here, but I'm here for a little bit.
So I got a new keyboard for my laptop.
Oh. I was about to say, did you have to get a new laptop?
No, actually, the previous keyboard was pretty well sealed. So it all stayed on the keyboard, and now I have the old keyboard's out, and it sticks. It's as if, you know, more than when I go to YouPorn, essentially. It's more sticky than...
Not RedTube, John. YouPorn is your destination of choice.
Well, you know, to each their own, I guess.
Okay.
Huh? I lost that.
I have a feeling with you being drugged up that might be the case for the majority of your time here on the podcast tonight.
Possibly.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I can do this now. So I can actually hit the shift key and Windows Media Player won't start.
That's good.
On one shift key, if I hit it would start Windows Media Player. The other one would just start putting stars in front of every letter I typed.
So does this mean that, unfortunately, the soundboard is alive?
Oh, the soundboard never had... The soundboard...
That's its own, like, sentient piece of equipment.
It has become sentient at this point.
In fact, the beer might have made it stronger. That is a very distinct possibility that it has...
Yeah. It's now got an attitude.
I actually was... Oh, John, I gotta ask you... John, my phone battery hates me. But, okay, so I was listening to Weekend Justice while I was doing stuff at work today. And yesterday, and that's fine. But, because it's on my little headphones. Because you guys cannot not be on my headphones.
Can you?
I'm trying to listen.
Can you write off watching Walking Dead as a business expense?
I think you can. Yeah.
No, I meant you.
No, I can't. Unfortunately.
Hmm. Can you get me on Walking Dead?
If you come here, you can go and be an extra. They do extra stuff all the time.
All right, so tell me what you, or ask me what you want to ask me, or say what you want to say about the last one, because I got to jump downstairs real quick. So do it now.
No idea.
You said you were listening to Weekend Justice.
Oh, and we, Aaron, I knew what you were trying to say
about the vaginas.
If you were bisexual, yes. If you were bisexual, that if you had, yes, because this is the argument I've had with other friends, argument.
Well, you guys argue about it. I got to go downstairs real quick.
Okay.
But it made sense because you were saying that if I have a vagina at home, I don't need other vaginas. But if I were bisexual, you know, I don't have one of those at home, so I want to go out and get that on the side.
But I think if you're getting laid, and if you're the type of person that doesn't mind how you're getting laid, I don't think you'll suddenly want to get laid a different way all of a sudden if you are getting laid.
Exactly. I think you're right, because I think that's the thing, is that the issue is not Yes. The issue is not getting paid. The issue is, yes, it is.
No, it isn't. People want variety. They want to do different things in bed. It's not just if you're getting laid. It's what you're doing. Yes.
No, you can have different things in bed, even if you only have one partner, Scott. Really. There are many different things to do.
And when we mean one partner, we don't just mean one person at a time. We mean, like, you know, one partner over a long period of time.
But I would say that, Aaron. I mean, I think that if I were in a relationship with someone who's bisexual, the issue would be, okay, fine. If you need that from a guy, I could understand that if we had that relationship. But if you're going out for another woman, I got a problem.
Well, I mean, in college, I shared an apartment and indeed shared a room with a bisexual girl. And she had a relationship with another girl the whole time. Well, not the whole time, but the majority of the time that we lived together. And she never cheated on her. I mean, it was always a monogamous relationship.
Yep.
And I know she had been with guys, like she had relationships with other guys too. And her idea was as well, I'm in a relationship, you know, that's right. What's the difference? You know what I mean? Like I could say, for example, oh, well, I'm going out with a brunette, but what if I feel like being with a redhead? Oh, I'm going to have to go off and get my redhead fix. I mean, it's ridiculous. You know what I mean?
I agree. You were making the point because I think that is that's the discussion I've had with people, which is, okay, if you're bisexual and I can't give you what you need as a bisexual, I get that part. But if I'm female and you're going out with another female, then I see a different part of this. That's the relationship discussion that you have to have differently to me.
But are you saying that you would be okay if your bisexual partner had a boyfriend?
I don't know that I would understand it more.
Okay, I wouldn't.
Know that I would.
I would downright stab a motherfucker.
No, I think I would understand it more. I think it would be more. I don't know that I could ever do that. I don't know that I could ever say, "Oh yeah, it's fine. I understand." I would say that would be something I would understand more, and it would be more of a potential discussion. Now, I think there's a difference though between saying, "Okay, we are now making a commitment for life, whether that's marriage or just deciding that we're going to be committed for life," and then not doing that.
But you guys have a weird relationship set up than most people on this side of the water, in the sense that you do a thing where you can date people but also date other people at the same time and you won't get mad.
I never do that. I know people who can, but I could never do it. Yeah.
Yeah, no, but it's an acceptable form of dating, right?
Yes, there are people who say that, yes.
Now, because we don't really do the dating system here. We don't have that formal kind of let's go on a date and by day three, you know, you expect certain things to happen.
What?
No.
What a horror.
No, we don't date here. Nobody goes on dates. You organize to meet in the pub. And that's
then everyone gets drunk.
And then if you have sex,
and then you go to the confessional to be guilty about it.
If you go home together a couple of times, if you make out a couple of times, great. After a while, you see each other more in situations that aren't the pub. But there's never that formal sense of we're going on a date. You're just hanging out until the point that you go, we're boyfriend and girlfriend, right?
But no matter what, alcohol is always involved.
Pretty much. So is that like all? I mean, again, not understand. I'm not making any. I can't get it out. Okay, so that's how.
Hold on,
soundboard.
Aaron, you even told me I was going to get myself.
I warned you.
But Aaron, I mean, literally, like, hi, do you want to go out to the movies in a day? I mean, you don't like, let's go out to dinner together. I mean, that's not like the first date. That's like, okay, we've been at the pub a couple of times. We may have even had sex once. Oh, okay, now we're going to start doing things just together instead of as the pub group.
Yeah, like it's more common that way. I mean, I'm not saying people don't organize to do a formal date every now and again, but it's really not the norm of what the usual relationship starts off as. It's usually more as like, you know, you meet in a club or meet in the pub. You know, if you hit it off, most of the time, you know, you meet each other because of a mutual friend or whatever, but If you hit it off, you usually just see each other again at the pub the next weekend. And it's kind of, you know, it's a little bit more, it's more casual, I guess, is the best way I can say about it.
And not casual in the way of we mean casual, which is, you know, friends with benefits. You're talking casual as in it just does, the thing that makes me laugh is that
the whole dad thing that you guys seem to have, where dad is very important.
Oh, hang on. Wait a minute. So
what? No one in Ireland, hang on.
No one in Ireland has a father? You're all bastards?
Well, yeah.
Well, that's true.
What do you mean by the dad thing? Yeah.
We all
But you know the way, like, because I'm
Ireland.
Sometimes I have to go by what I see on television and film.
I was about to go, you're getting everything from rom-coms here, but yeah, okay.
Yeah, exactly. But I know there's a tradition in America where the guy will ask the girl's father for her hand in marriage.
I did.
Yeah, that's happened.
I know a guy who did that here, thinking foolishly that was the tradition we do here, and he got told to go fuck himself.
What is it over there? You just club a girl?
Yeah, just club her, take her home.
No. You pub a girl.
Aaron, I will say this.
Plug a girl.
Hang on. Hey. Aaron, I will say this. That basically the whole getting club thing, you've got Rox's attention now. I mean, honestly, think about anybody who can take down Rox. Rox is going to marry that broad. I mean, come on.
You can take Rox down. She is. You are money.
It's almost Darwinian in nature with Rox.
If you can go down on Rox,
you've now made Dragon Con dangerous for me.
There's a friend of mine who went on a blind date recently.
The dangerous
and
game.
That shit blew my mind.
Well,
what's wrong with that?
Let me just say, okay, just to address what Rox just said, I did not mean to put you in danger, Rox. My point is, I would just say to anyone looking to try to club Rox, okay? There's plenty of room in Rox's crawl space, all right?
By the way, Club Rox, a new venue coming to you soon.
That is like a touring venue.
And you know what? We have homeless hotspot guys.
And hot lava coffee.
Oh, God.
I would just say to anyone who's thinking of clubbing Rox, better men than you have tried, okay?
Yeah, exactly right. Better men and women, and she, you know, her crawl space still has space.
Now you know why Lou Ferrigno is dead.
Not.
And I don't feel that much myself.
But he might be by the time this comes out. And I want to ask this.
When you were like 14, 15, 16, did you just say, hey, you want to meet? You never said, I want to go out with you, and then you have to deal with the parents? You never have to deal with any of that?
My friend says, do you want to shift them? Is the general phrase, or depending on the terminology
you're in. Here all the time. I have to shift bodies in the crawl space all the time.
Wait, hold on. Okay.
Also, Rox,
I think we're in two different
concepts
here.
He didn't say shiv either.
No, I said shift.
Okay, all right, just checking.
Well, shift is an Irish country term for make out.
Oh, not here.
Aaron, I got a question. If that's what shift means, what does caps lock mean?
Well, that's, you know, fourth base.
Okay. So basically it sounds like what happens is you go someplace with somebody to get drunk, and then eventually over the course of a few other engagements, you sober up and you decide if you still think the other is attractive. Is that how it works?
Yeah, it's basically if you're still in the cold light of day willing to hang out with that girl, she's a keeper.
So will you still love me when you sober up?
Yeah, will you still love me tomorrow? Sobering up is implied.
Love me when
not with you guys.
All right. Actually, I do have a question. Okay. Can I ask Aaron, are you Catholic?
I was christened, but I am not Catholic, no.
Did you go to Mass at all growing up?
Every school growing up, it was a Catholic school, so I've gone through the whole rigmarole.
Something must have translated coming from Europe, Ireland and stuff, coming to here, you know, coming up with the whole, the guy asks the dad for the hand in marriage, because I always thought it was an Irish thing, an Irishy Catholicy thing. There must have been some translation problem.
If it started out here, it was a tradition dropped pretty quickly, because I don't know anyone who's ever done it.
After the fourth or fifth time that they were,
we saw it in the John Wayne movie, The Quiet Man.
John Wayne, that very Irish,
Irish man goes up and asks for her brother, you know, because the dad is dead, so he asks her brother,
right,
Catherine O'Hara, which, you know, we believe that's a full blown Irish film.
Guys, we have to be careful here. We are kind of basing all of Ireland on just one Irishman, so we don't really have a good pool to go from, as it were.
Are you saying I'm not an authority on everything in my country, sir?
Scott, bear in mind that Aaron is also 1/14 of the Irish population, so I would say he's a pretty good sample.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know. That's not enough good statistical pool to really base anything on.
Well, actually,
and
you know
also,
what?
Can we... Which, what? Can at some point, can I quote you and say Aaron is a really good sample so I can put that on a website somewhere?
Aaron gives really good samples. So says the Dublin Sperm Bank.
Go ahead, people. Sample Aaron.
Okay. Love Rocks, sample Aaron.
Love Rock, yeah.
Dragon
Club Rocks and sample Aaron. Okay, so wait, I have a question for Widge and John. Did you guys ask for the hand thing?
I did.
Huh? Oh,
for the hand? Marriage.
I thought we were talking about you porn again.
No, we're not talking about the you porn, John.
I missed that part of the conversation.
Wait, what? You people are talking about you porn and I wasn't. What the hell?
The answer is no. The simple answer is no. In fact, the father did not like me very much.
Oh,
I can't understand why. Like,
remember when I started dating my future and beautiful wife?
Oh my God, yeah, that's when you were wearing
an ass for an unemployed actor.
That's no, we're right. asking about your current wife, John.
I was an
John was wearing acid washed jeans.
He was wearing acid washed jeans, and he was an unemployed actor with long hair. That's right.
Well, it wasn't long.
Did he have a mullet?
Almost, Scott. Didn't you see the pictures?
Oh my
God. You didn't
see
the pictures?
I want to see teenage pictures of John.
Teenage
You're on Facebook.
I may have seen them before, but I just can't imagine them looking any different.
Hold on.
One second. Lee, there's something very important I've been meaning to tell you, and I want to say it before.
Oh. Whoa. What the heck was that? Hold on.
Someone got a text.
All right. So, Lee, this is for you. Oh, okay.
I hate you. Thanks a lot. You know what?
Let's all say welcome back, Lee. We missed you.
Yeah, it's nice. I missed you guys too. I don't know how long I'll be here, but my drink of choice is fizzy water right now. So hey, that's kind of awesome. Huge bar right behind me, and I'm drinking fizzy water.
Just don't get the squirty. Are you drinking seltzer or club soda?
Seltzer. I got a seltzer siphon. That's my new fun toy.
Oh, you got a siphon.
Oh, my God.
That's not a sex toy, Scott.
It's not a sex toy.
No, I just found the picture you were talking about. Oh, my God.
Look at him. I'm telling you.
If I was this woman's father, I'd be like, oh, hell no, you're not marrying that
shit. Excuse me. I was extremely handsome then.
I think he was a really cute little 80s hottie.
Wow. Ouch. That backhand, that kind of hurt.
It was a cute picture. Oh,
I'm complimented by that backhand, but
you're very attractive now. That's not what I meant.
John,
I meant
you're complimented often by a backhand. I'll just say.
Yeah.
Oh.
But actually, so Widge, like, what my husband did was actually just go. He was like, I am not asking, because I had to explain that. That kind of means something to my dad. And so he went and he was like, so I'm not asking. I just want to let you know before I let her know officially that I'm thinking about asking your daughter. It was kind of funny the way he has described this conversation.
That makes sense. That makes sense. I will say that I kind of was 98% of the percent certain of the answer before I asked. So, so it was more it was going to be fairly obvious that, well, you can say no, that won't change what's going to happen.
Yeah.
This is merely just giving you a heads up.
Yeah, and Aaron, I would say for many people, it's not really, it's not going to change anything. Just giving you the heads up so you can, you know, not have the heart
attack. Well, people still seem to do it anyway, though.
Well, yeah. it's a nice thing. It's more of a, it's just a nice thing to do to kind of, and again, it depends on the relationship that you have with the parents. So it all depends. It's not across the board. Now, Aaron, I will say this. I think that you should pitch a web series about an Irishman who comes over to America and decides to act as though everything he's seen in the movies and on television is how America actually is.
Which would be sewn in search for Alf, I think would be.
In search of Alf. Well, I'm really here in search of Alf, but on the way I found love and adventure.
Well, and I'll also say, I think actually, I don't know, Rox, maybe, I think it's also more of a Southern thing.
What? No. Actually, it really is.
It's not? Okay.
When my sister's husband went to my dad to say, hey, can I marry your daughter? My dad was cleaning a gun.
Hey, that's the way to do it, man.
Yep. And my dad quietly put the gun away.
That was good. The gun away.
I found John's prom picture.
Yes,
wait, which is that? Duh. Is that from 2008?
1986.
That would be
John, you're not after 21, you can't go to proms anymore.
1986 would have been actually middle school graduation. I know which ones you're looking at. Yes.
Okay. Oh my god.
That's school graduation. Yeah. Yes.
Okay, so 2 years later, I actually
went to prom my junior year, but not my senior year.
I like that you went with the traditional tux rather than the white one that a couple of your friends were sporting.
Yes, well.
It made you not look like
anybody that knows Duncan. Duncan's in that picture too. He's kind of washed out in the picture, but he's there.
He's there,
which says something about the tux.
Duncan who went to the
Duncan
beer
would
thing
be a black
you, right?
man. So, huh?
Duncan who went to the beer thing with you.
Yes.
You keep friends forever.
I do. I've had the
That's
same.
That's Aditha Wiverly.
I do too.
I've had the same friends.
I do too. Across
the
face.
Rox freeze dries her friends.
One of my friends is from second grade.
One of my best friends at third grade. Yeah,
I'm really shit in this sort of category because my oldest friend is Brian, and I met him 9 years ago. I dropped friends like a bad habit.
Was it at a pub?
It was at college.
Yeah, you better be nice to us, man. We're going to drop
still a lot of drink.
You're on the edge there, Aaron.
Hey, my picture from Little Fox is in here. You and I were talking about that, weren't we, Rox?
Yeah, I was. Yeah, I like that play. Who did you play?
I played the husband. I don't remember his name. The guy who dies.
Oh, the death. How was your
Spoilers.
My death scene was,
died, everybody.
Was horrid. I made all of my fellow castmates laugh. So.
Did you really?
Every time. Yes.
But you know, you could have done it off stage, just like they did in the film.
I did it on stage, coming down the stairs.
Okay.
Ladies.
Which is strange because, you know, I'm supposed to be in the wheelchair.
Yeah. Well, he's in the movie, he's crawling up the stairs or trying to or something. I forgot. Yeah.
I need to go
get the Fantastic Mr. Fox?
Yes, that's the Fantastic Mr. Fox, certainly.
Yeah, who steals grapes of wrath by the Jodes.
What are you eating, Rox?
It's that time of it's from Great Britain. They're the Cadbury eggs, the hard ones, the candy shell ones. Hey. Eat them now before Easter.
Oh, mini eggs.
Yeah, the mini eggs. I love mini eggs.
Okay.
Sorry.
Not the cream eggs. I was thinking of whenever anyone says Cadbury egg, I was thinking of the Cadbury's cream eggs.
I used to like those, but now I like these. So.
Oh yeah, mini eggs are awesome. The Cadbury cream eggs are too, like, they're a bit too much for me.
Yeah.
They're way too.
What do you mean? What do you mean too much?
Well, they're really, really kind of like.
They're rich.
They're very rich. Yeah, that's probably the best word to describe.
And you have to watch it because if they get too gooey, then they go all over.
Yeah, I don't like melting chocolate. And it's almost impossible to eat a Cadbury cream egg without like looking like you painted yourself in blackface. It's just,
dang,
it's just, yeah, it, they're really ridiculous things.
Just don't get the squirty kind.
I don't know. Billy Crystal still seems to be at it, so I guess, you know, back in style.
Yeah, true, true. But he's old, so what do you expect?
Uh-huh.
Ouch.
Oh, I forgot. Hold on. I have an announcement.
The podcast.
No.
Yeah, seriously.
I forgot to say, it's Happy Uranus Day.
Happy Uranus Day, Scott. Did you get some? Oh, really?
Is this a known thing? Is it Uranus Day?
Uranus Day, yes.
Uranus.
Uranus was discovered on this date.
Scott, did somebody discover Uranus today?
Not today, unfortunately, but...
Oh, see, Scott, you've got a couple hours for somebody to discover Uranus.
Is there a Scott's Anus Day the day that someone first discovered Scott's Anus?
You know, what's funny is that reminds me of the, I was just looking up on Wikipedia, which is always true, not about Scott's anus, but Uranus, that says, it's kind of like, Uranus and Scott's anus apparently have something in common. Though it is visible to the naked eye like the five classical planets. It was never recognized as a planet by ancient observers because of its dimness and slow orbit.
Oh, Scott.
Are you calling my ass stupid?
No. No.
No, just... but we are saying it's dense.
Somebody wants to commission a stamp for Pluto. That's not a planet. Or should be a planet. Yeah. No. The little planet that was.
What's it classified now? Is it just a large star?
Isn't it like a dwarf planet or something?
Yeah, I think so. It's a dwarf planet.
Yeah.
Say it.
Now, which one? Because there's a couple of planets that are just like gas planets, right?
Yeah, and all they have are numbers. They haven't filled out those things. You know how you can go to the science museums and say,
science?
"Get your name your own star.
Science?
Star 1,695 could be yours, Scott."
Now, Rox, what would you name a star?
Oh, wow.
If you got one to name for yourself, what would you name it? And I'll ask everybody this question. Everyone have a think about that one.
I'm having
to
think about it.
I got to think about it. A star for me. Wow. Saying black hole would be, you know, wow. And they
would you rather name a black hole after yourself than a star?
Oh, hell yeah. That's
because if anyone in this group is going to get a black hole named after themselves,
yes.
It's going to be Scott.
Can I get some dark matter named after me? Because then it would go with everything I own.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I don't know. I it's like they named a crater after Ray Bradbury. And I'd do something really cool. I have to think about this. Go to Scott. Scott, what would you do? Oh, come on. You know you already have one. You want to see
my
your
anus?
Name? Lights and stuff.
I don't know. Campbell does have a nice ring to it.
Campbell?
Campbell Star.
Then I would feel like people who make the soup would try and claim
it. I know, Scott. Okay,
I know. And I'd sell them the rights. It's sort of like how people used to hold domain names until companies. You do that with stars.
Right. No, you got a point. You can call it Campbell.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But anyway, that's a thought for everybody at home. Leave a comment on the podcast page if you're thinking of what your star would be called.
I know what I would call my star.
What's that?
I'd call it Wormwood.
The Wormwood.
I think I would name mine Cha. After Chairface Chippendale's
bad attempt. That's for the moon. That's going to be for the moon, though.
But we'll never be able to rename the moon.
Well, we could start a petition.
Here's the thing.
Why not?
You know, that was a great episode in The Tick because you can't go to jail for defacing the moon. That's
no,
perfect villain type of thing because it's like, what you can do? Throw me in jail for graffitiing the moon?
And there was no way they could renege it either. There's no way they could just like forget about it the next episode. So I love that.
Yeah, I like Chairface to Chippendale.
Well, I will say this, Aaron. Maybe the trick is to start a petition, if one already does not exist on the internet somewhere, to carve that into the face of the moon and make that be NASA's new mission.
Yeah.
Dream big, people. Dream big.
Seriously, I'm doing
big enough.
I would only do that if they shot the laser.
For a black hole, you call it the Kraken black hole. It's a villainy type of name. Kraken.
So, Lee, what would you name your star?
She's back.
Did she go away? Oh, that's right. Oh, I see. Her phone rang. John, what would you name your star?
Oh, man, you're putting me on the spot.
I already know. You're going to name it alcohol or beer.
No.
No.
See, I don't think there's many witty star names you can come up with.
It doesn't have to be witty. I mean, most of the time people name it after themselves anyway.
Ooh, death.
Oh. And then people could say, it's no moon.
Yeah.
Which would be accurate.
No moon. All right, Mr. Magoo, you
yes,
win.
So John can be witty, whatever.
Yes, and.
Hot lava.
Yeah, hot lava. That's
okay.
For an ass giant, you know.
So here's a question. So apart from Aaron, who's a week behind, did everyone see Walking Dead?
I did.
Oh my god, yes.
And
Aaron says
I
he doesn't mind spoilers
with it.
Okay, actually, first of all, hang on. Scott, did you see it?
I haven't been watching it.
Okay, and Aaron, you don't care, so
I don't mind spoilers. No.
Okay, good, I'm just making sure we're covered. So spoilers, the spoiler shield falls.
I will say though,
because I didn't get to talk about last week's episode last week. I did enjoy it. That's all.
Okay.
Yeah.
I have several questions. I have lots of questions. I know that Rox has like this thing that she wants to tell about how much she hates the show now.
Well,
but,
no.
But,
my friend and coworker brought up a point of what had occurred at the first of the season.
Okay.
But I don't buy it.
Go ahead. What is it?
Okay, so remember cliffhanger people? Remember the cliffhanger, the barn? Cliffhanger? Remember the barn? Cliffhanger?
Yes, yes.
Right? Shoot,
yeah.
Shoot, bang, 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 20 fucking minutes of everybody shooting.
Yeah.
Eight. Nothing happened after that. One lone boy shoots one gun off. All of a sudden, the woods are crawling. I have a problem with that. It's
well,
like,
hold on.
Hang on. Let me explain.
Now, the thing is, hold on. No. Okay. And then my coworker did bring this up at the first of the season. There was a herd, and he believes that the herd wandered off and they circled back. I said, okay. I just want to call this season, blame it on Carl. Everybody will.
Well, John, before you jump in, let me just say, one of the things that I regret that they're doing basically what was done in the comic, but not in the same order as the comic. The idea of gunshots bringing a horde down on you doesn't happen until much later in the series when another character goes, why are you guys still fire? A character from outside of the group who has joined the group goes, you guys still fire guns? Because the group had for a long time not experienced what they're about to experience. Basically,
but they were talking about that earlier, even in season one.
No, I know, but it's not. It hasn't happened. What basically happens is that you have they describe it better in the comics, and maybe they'll describe it in next episode. But the idea of because these things are just wandering around looking for some kind of stimulus to pull them in a different direction, all kinds of things pull them around, and they will follow each other at a certain point. And it just takes the right gunshot at the right time in earshot of one of these things in order to draw a horde down on you. So the fact that none have happened up until this point is just dumb luck, basically.
And it really isn't that they didn't that they weren't aware that happens because
Right. I mean, because it's what Lori has been bitching about. You know, we got to keep him quiet. She alluded that to their new, coming of the newborn child.
They pointed out even in this episode when they said, okay, well, we're moving everybody inside because, we have a whole herd of cattle out there. And, by the by, Dale's already run across one that's been feasting on the cattle. That they've probably been wandering around out there anyway, eating all the animals that are available out in the woods. And as Witch pointed out, they may have already been headed that way to begin with.
Right. I mean, that goes back to my friend Mitch. He, you know, because he saw the group.
Right. The horde
at the beginning of the season. But I know, but it just seemed like, but there were like tons of gunshots that one time. And, you know, I know it's part of the storytelling, but, you know, I don't like Carl.
Let me ask you this. You've killed, many a passerby. How many times have you been caught?
Never.
Right. So, but at some point, there's a good chance that you will be caught burying someone in your basement, and you'll have to do it more than once. You'll have to kill a bunch
of people. Moriarty was never caught, my friend. Just saying.
He was pitched over some waterfalls.
Yeah, some waterfalls. Yeah. That'll, you know.
Well, then, I guess if that's your argument. Okay, so here's my question.
That is my argument. He was never caught by the police.
I will say that's an unassailable argument. So, John, what's your question?
Yeah, so how close, because as I was pointing out to Aaron before we started recording, was that I haven't read the comic books, and because of your guys' recommendations, I will never read the comic books. Not because they're not good, but because I already get terrified at the television show. I'm not a big horror fan. How close to the book was the ending of this particular episode?
They veered off like a totally new show, really.
Well, they did.
So Dale is
the big veering because Dale is around for a long, long time. But what I think they've done is by doing this, I was originally thought I was going to be disappointed that Shane didn't meet his end the way he did in the comic because that was so strong for Carl.
Yeah.
But what they've done is, by doing it the way they did it, because I mean, am I alone in thinking that Rick knew pretty much the entire time he was walking out there?
Oh yeah, he did.
What was going to happen?
Oh, yeah.
The look he was giving him was ridiculous.
Yeah.
Well, actually, I did like that whole holy shit, my kid's pointing a gun at me. I really did like that. I mean, that to me, I think that is as strong as you will get for the American viewers. You know, a man having to face down
Sagan rocks.
You know, this will be as strong as you
lose everyone.
Apparently,
I lost everyone.
Yes, you did. Apparently.
No, we're here. Are you there?
We're here. You're just not hearing us.
All right. Sorry,
you found us.
Anyway,
we were in the woods. We were waiting for a gunshot.
You know, here you have a guy facing the barrel of a gun, and it's you know his son,
right?
And that's pretty strong.
Like a deodorant. Yes, in fact.
Yeah, really strong.
Really strong. Strong enough for a man, but made for Carl.
Well, I think the way they played it was really, really good because this is, I mean, I'm sad to see Shane go because I thought, I mean, like I think I said before, I really would have loved for him to come back and just stayed because he was such an interesting character. And the idea of him being
he was. When you start hitting yourself.
No, I at that point
you
I was
know, like,
no, I knew. I knew he was gone. Trust me. When the moment they showed the preview for this episode, I was like, okay, either this episode or next episode, he's gone.
Yeah.
But I just thought it would have been a much more interesting arc for him for when Rick says, you need to come back to us, if he actually did. I kind of would have loved to have seen that play out, but I understand why they're doing what they're doing.
I can imagine was Shane's brain was like on fire. That's how well he played that.
Yes.
You know, that you can actually see, oh my God, this guy is like either his brain is on fire and he is in like freaking emotional pain. You can see this man deserves a fucking Emmy.
He was great. Now,
he was great.
That's part of the reason why I'm going to miss him. But I just love Lee. Are you all right?
Lee just zipped up her microphone.
I guess.
No, I'm so sorry. I was drinking some water and the glass hit the microphone. I'm so sorry.
Do not put any liquid near your computer.
You need to listen to last week's episode.
Any liquid, liquid. No fluids.
Now John basically wraps his laptop in saran wrap before he does any recreation.
Any at all.
Yes.
Wasn't he doing that before?
No,
he was wrapping something else in saran wrap. No, I absolutely really felt for Rick, though, because I mean, while in the comic, I mean, and they allude to this in the show, that basically what we've talked about here is that Rick, while he's doing the best he can, really sucks.
Yeah.
I mean, doesn't mean to. He really doesn't mean to. But he makes such terrible decisions for the right reasons, you know?
But right, and the thing is, he's so flawed that I do like the line in the comic where he keeps asking Lori, am I a good person?
Yeah.
We haven't had that line yet, and I think it's an awesome, because he knows he's on the line. Well, you know, and the whole thing of in the bar, you know, I could see him even asking Glenn, I'm really a good person, really honest. You know, because you saw Glenn couldn't even look him in the eye.
Yeah. Well, part of my thing was that while Rick is so terribly flawed, to an extent that in the comic, I want to smack him a lot.
Yeah.
Here, I just felt so bad for him because when him going, you did this, this was you, this wasn't me. It was just, you could tell that he was like giving Shane every opportunity. He's like, my son is going away in the head. My wife basically left me and I don't know what's going on with her. You are my best friend. I don't want to go through this without you. Please do not make me kill you. I mean, that's literally what I got out of that. And that makes such sense, is because you really want, you really don't want to go into that world alone, but you watch your best friend, like you said, his brain lights on fire and you go, okay, you're making me stab you. I cannot believe you're making me stab you. So,
why do you keep punching yourself? Why do you keep punching yourself?
Yeah, seriously.
My God, man, you don't want to. Wow. Just when he started doing that, I'm like, oh, you can give your. And Shane can give himself a concussion. That's for sure.
Yeah. Well, and I think we are going to see in next episode the reveal of basically everybody coming around to the notion of you don't got to get bit. We've all got it.
Okay, now here's the thing. Now that we've established that, now we have to sort of figure out how are they going to go, because they're still trying to make a life for themselves. Will the networks force them to go, okay, we need to find, we'll introduce a character that could say, because, you know.
This isn't a typical network television show, so I don't think the network has any input into it whatsoever.
Network executives will get tired. We've seen that.
This is only going to go for 4 or 5 seasons tops anyway. So.
Well, I know, but it's like you're going to get an executive somewhere, because heads change all the time. We have this panel at DragonCon.
Hold on a second, though. But I know where you're going with all this, but it's freaking A&E. So what are they going to do?
AMC.
Not, which is even worse. It's AMC. So what is AMC gonna, they'll just say, all right, we'll take our show elsewhere. Any number of places, we'll go to Starz, we'll go to HBO. Any of those guys will take us.
Right. But I don't know. I can see where somebody head up will say, okay, we need to do something to add, I don't know, some sort of mediocre hope, I think.
Well, hold on.
Does The Walking Dead have the ratings to say, no, you're not going to fuck with this because it's doing well enough as it is?
Yeah. Well, let me just say, Rox, in the comic, they introduce characters who inject hope into the situation.
Right.
So I'm just saying there's ways to do that so that it's not perpetually hopeless.
Right.
Now it comes back to hopeless.
Even then, I mean.
Well, yeah, I was about to say, haven't you said that they, this is, again, I'm like, John, I'm never reading these comics because I will just want, you know, to start cutting or something. But isn't it like they add somebody and you're like, oh, okay, maybe it's going to be, oh, no, this isn't going to end well.
Kids, don't cut yourself.
And then don't cut yourself. That's a bad idea.
And don't cut Tuffley either. Hi, Tuffley.
Oh, actually, too, somebody brought my coworker. Sorry, Tuffley.
Tuffley, you there?
Tuffley decided to go back to Mass Effect 3.
Oh, okay. I see.
No.
No.
You can barely hear him.
Kim is the Mass Effecting.
He said that he
needs to turn up his volume, but he did say that Kim is the Mass Effect queen, which explains why he's here.
Yes.
Hello.
Well, you've got me at an interesting evening because Kim is mass affecting and there is no hockey that has any playoff implications for me this evening.
Didn't you buy the hockey, like the whole thing that you, like the huge package?
Yeah.
I feel so important right now.
I know, yeah, really, Aaron, right.
I got Game Center, so.
Wait. We just had Lisa a huge package. Do we have that?
I don't know, Scott. I can't speak to whether or not you have a huge package or not.
My understanding is it's
I'm quite average.
Fuck you. Let's talk about the soundboard.
Okay, so the judges, raise your cards. No, okay, sorry.
Call back to the weirdest thing that nobody on this podcast would probably have been for. Thank you, Toughly.
You're welcome. You're welcome. I do that. It's great. So
anyway.
Thank you for giving me a minute. But
of course, yes. It's the pause that refreshes every 15 minutes on Weekend Justice.
Welcome back, Toughly.
Sorry to take your line, Toughly, but somebody had to say it.
The soundboard has failed. Fuck's sake.
The soundboard's watching hockey. What were we talking about? I even
Walking
remember. Dead. Oh, yes. So yes. So I think next episode is when we get the we're all screwed because we're infected. We're all infected.
You think?
Well, what about the rate that you turn?
You mean how fast?
Yeah.
I think that's been fairly consistent, hasn't it?
I'm trying to remember how fast it was when the doctor was showing at the CDC. I guess it was pretty quick.
Remember in the first season when Andrea's sister went, it was, I don't know how quick it went. I also don't know what the factors are that lead you to, I mean, how fast you turn based on how you died or what. I mean, I don't know.
Well, I have a good example. I was wondering on how much, like, you take Shane, Rick, and anybody else that has killed a plenty of zombies, the amount of blood splatter you get, the more likelihood you have sort of some contagion.
Well, I think basically that, like we talked about, this is going to be what the doctor told Rick at the end of season one, is that we're all infected.
It's basically a dormant virus that only kicks in when you die.
Yes. Now, what I would say is that it just occurred to me, Andrea's sister died because of bites.
Right.
As opposed to Shane, who just died because he was stabbed in the heart.
Metaphorically and physically. Oh, yeah. No, actually, sorry. Rick was stabbed in the heart. Shane was actually stabbed in the heart.
And everyone's to blame.
Yes.
No, just Carl.
Yeah. Just Carl. Oh, yeah.
So have we got any answer to why Lori is wearing that jacket?
Don't bring that up again.
Yeah, don't make me hurt you, Scott.
Well, I wanted to know if there was a resolution yet.
There isn't.
Now, can I ask if it makes sense continuity-wise for a certain thing? If the doctor told him that we're all infected, does that mean that the security guard scene where Rick was trying to say, no, you can see they were scraped here or whatever, does that mean he's trying to cover and he doesn't want to tell Shane?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. Probably. Because it could also be interpreted that he just didn't know.
No,
But now you got Daryl that can find footprints in quicksand. He notices it.
I will say this though. I love Daryl. Daryl is awesome. Mm-hmm. The fact that he basically said to Rick, yeah, why should you have to do all the heavy lifting? I was like, what an awesome guy you are. I mean, yeah, you could be a prick at times, but I'll blame that on your brother. You're awesome, dude. But no, he the way he was kind of trying to shift that, and by that I mean not go out with him in the Irish sense, but actually shift it, is away from, no, they died and turned. It seemed to me he was really trying to lead away from that, because the concept is if we're all going to turn into zombies, no matter what we do, eventually, then a lot of people will probably just lose hope.
Kind of the idea?
No.
But I know.
But
I was saying from a safety standpoint.
Down. Yeah.
But from a safety standpoint, wouldn't you need to let people know that if someone dies, they'll turn, so you better be careful? Because, I mean, there's people around him trying to commit suicide and all that kind of stupid shit.
Well, like, I don't think they've compared enough notes yet. I don't think all of the characters have been in one place long enough to compare notes on how this is happening.
Well, the other thing, too, is that I think my concern would be...
Wow, Scott. Really? Really, Scott?
Superboard.
Do you want That's not even me yawning like that.
Really, Scott?
Jesus.
I mean, come on.
Scott, what? Go watch porn. Just go on. Watch porn.
By the way, Scott, as a reminder, there won't be any Doctor Who until the fall, so this is going to be a long time for you.
Wow. Damn. Okay,
I regret nothing.
Hang on, let me make a note of the time. I'm going to have to go in and drop the decibel level on that, I think, because my earlobes are bleeding.
Oh, it's leveled over here. You're okay.
Okay, good. Thank you. The hell are we saying?
I don't know. Scott could tell you, but he was bored to death.
He was just, he's been yawning for like 5 minutes. I've been waiting on a break to go, okay, people, that yawning you hear in the background is not me. I'm just saying.
No, we don't even hear snoring.
Lies.
That's not.
It's all Lee.
Yeah. Dear listeners, let me tell you something.
K9.
On Skype, when people are talking, their little box lights up. And I don't mean that in a Lee kind of way. I mean that in a Skype kind of way.
I need a little box.
Exactly.
Oh, fuck.
And when Scott yawned, it lit up like a fucking Christmas tree for him.
Thank you. Give me some. Yes. Yeah, that's right.
She acted.
Yeah, anyway, so but no, I thought it was really cool about Daryl. But yeah, Daryl knows and Glenn knows. Even if they're not aware that they know. And I'm just afraid that if lots of people knew about that, then they might act even stupider.
Right. And don't you think that's the, well, I mean, you mentioned it earlier. That's the secret that Rick's been holding this entire time and he's been trying to hide that from everybody. In fact, actually when him and Shane were out there, he even said, oh, there must've been, you know, it must've been someplace else. You know, you just kind of like tried to get him away from it. Like he knew what was going on, back at the depot, wherever it was.
Yeah.
When they found those two dead guys and he said, I don't see.
Well, I think some people started to figure it out from the barn.
Did they actually investigate the bodies that well?
I don't think so, but
probably not.
Or at least the clue, at least a major clue to that popped up with the barn, but.
What exactly did you have in mind on that, Tuffley? Because I may have missed it.
You get very sketchy details how the people actually died before they were put in the barn. And.
Well, no, usually he found them, though. Wasn't he? He found Romers. So most of the time they wouldn't have known anyway.
Yeah. Okay.
Just but back no, off, Tuffley.
No. I thought there might have been something because I certainly don't catch everything. I'm clueless. But no, I think Tuffley, I think you're right. If that if they were to take some sort of survey of the bodies, they probably would have seen some with no bites. And that would have. But I think at that point everyone was so traumatized they were just like, let's just bury these fucking things or burn them or whatever.
Yeah.
Now, did T-Dog actually have a sentence this week?
Yeah, he did. A sentence.
He had a brief scene with was it Shane or was it Daryl?
The lock on the door.
Yeah, no, he was in a couple scenes.
Oh, yeah, and he said if you guys are going to argue about it, I'll take it. He was talking about the bedroom.
Oh, yeah, no, that was good too. And I'm really thinking that we're going to have a shall we say a cleansing in the final episode.
Well, you think?
No, but let me just say, since you haven't read the comic, you don't know what fucking cleansing is. There is literally a story arc that ends with just carnage. Yeah. So, but I'm thinking we're probably going to lose. Do you want to take a bet on a body count? I'm thinking 3.
I would say probably. Well, knowing a couple of things a little bit about next year, I could probably at least go with your 3.
I think a lot of Herschel's family will be taken out of the equation.
And yeah, Herschel's one of Herschel's sons or whatever that I just noticed again this past episode was like, oh hey, we never hear from that guy.
Yeah, that guy. Yeah, he's got the walk on scene. Yeah.
He was like moving something in the background.
You know who's signed and who hasn't?
Well, I don't know who hasn't signed because they're not talking about that, but the thing I sent you earlier, he's a regular.
What? Who? What?
Yeah. The email I sent you.
I knew about that. Yeah.
Yeah. They're making him he is actually a regular cast member in series 3. So that's,
I have issues with that.
Do you?
Yeah, I don't think we should see him on television.
I don't know if he's going to be. He's probably just going to be making appearances in every episode, so they had to sign him up as a regular.
So wait a minute, hang on, Aaron. What is your protest? What is this?
I don't think he should be on the TV show. I think as a character, I don't think they will do him anywhere near justice with what they're able to get away with on TV. I mean, all the governor's greatest moves, they'll never do. They'll never do like his deathmatch battles. They'll never do his Michonne stuff because, hey, we don't have a Michonne.
Well, no, we're getting a Michonne.
Yeah.
Has she been cast?
But I don't
know. It's Jennifer Lopez.
I don't know that she's been cast, but my understanding is we're getting a Michonne.
I got to figure if you're getting governor, you're going to get the other because
there's no way they'll play that stuff out, though.
Well, I don't know. The only thing I think we're not going to see is we're not going to see Rick lose his hand. Because Kirkman himself has said that in retrospect, he's like, God, what was I thinking? That was dumb. And just from a TV point of view, removing a guy's hand week after week, whether it's CG or whatever, is just an utter pain in the ass. So, and it just limits what you can do. So that part is not going to happen. But I think basically, here's what I would say, Aaron, is that if you had told me that we would have had, first of all, if you'd have told me 5 years ago that we would have had a zombie show on television, I would have said, nah, it's never going to happen. Television would never allow that to happen based on what you're talking about. If you had said, they'll have a zombie show. But my thing was, but on AMC, what are they going to be able to do it? And people were like, have you seen Breaking Bad? I'm like, no. They're like, yeah, if you'd watched Breaking Bad, you would know they got it covered. Trust me, they're going to be pretty damn explicit. And if you had then said, and I'd said, oh, yeah, but, and then you'd said, well, no, trust me, they're going to shoot two little girls in the head. They're going to show skulls being caved in. They're going to show a crawling torso with guts hanging out. And they're going to show this on American television. On American television, I would have said, are you high? But considering what all they have done, I don't know what to put past them at this point, to be perfectly honest. Well,
I mean, some of it is not even like the grossness, although a big part of the Mahal Michonne thing is that. I mean, I don't know how much
you don't see it. You don't see it. I mean, it's the thing. A lot of what he does is heard.
No, but at the same time, for you to build it as a story, even look at it from a writer's point of view, if that whole storyline, the way this show moves and the pace this show moves, that's a 2 or 3 season arc. Really?
For prison?
For the governor and everything that entails with governor from start to finish.
Well, I think basically I could see them doing like this. I could see them doing the prison the first part of season 3, especially if they do a half and half thing like they did this time. And then you get the governor. Your cliffhanger is they're in the clutches of the governor, right? Then the second half of the season, they're dealing with the governor. And you basically get back to the prison, and your cliffhanger might be now he's going to come and take the prison. Now I see how you could do that. I don't know that I agree with that. And I also don't know that on one hand, they spend enough time at Woodsboro? I think that's it. The name of the town that, that could translate into a lot of episodes away from the prison with a lot of the cast gone. So maybe that's how you save money. I don't know.
Season 3 is supposed to be 16 episodes.
Right.
I would guess 2 halves of 8.
Yeah.
I mean, just even this, the prison, finding the prison, colonizing the prison, finding the inmates in the prison. I mean, the way that the pace this show moves, that's about half of that season in a go.
Well, really. unless they slow down the pace of the series.
Well, now the other thing you could do is, unless you're injecting something else in there, like this whole Sophia thing was not that was new. So I could see you injecting something else into it that could slow it down some more.
It's like, possible, for example, there could be a Kirkman alternate universe tangent that he
I'm saying the show moves too slow to get through all the stuff that's in the prison. I'm not suggesting they need to slow it down some more. I don't think they would get through all the different plot points.
Well, and the other question is, I mean, how much of the plot points are changed based on the cast that they have now? Because my thing is, how does the prison play out if instead of just having, I mean, because right now we have no Tyrese, right?
But they would have to introduce a Michonne and make her important enough to tear down.
Well, because remember, Michonne shows up at the prison. But I think
to make us give a fuck about her fate, we'd have to get a lot of episodes with her.
We would. But I am curious as to, because we've already identified the fact that the thing with the governor is not going to go down. The prisoner is not going to go down 100% like it did in the comics. I don't think we can get away with this on television thing, but primarily from a, this is our own sandbox and we're going to spin it however we want. And I am interested to see, how does the governor thing play out when you have a Daryl in the mix? Because really, let's think about this. As far as strong, trustworthy characters that you could have beyond Daryl. Rick, you had Dale. In the comic, you had Dale, who was trustworthy, but not quite so strong, but at least stalwart, right? And then you had Tyrese, who was both. And you had a bunch of shady guys, especially the inmates, who you weren't sure about. But if you've got Daryl in there, that changes up the chemistry of things a lot. And depending on, like, if, you know, I would love to see other characters like, you know, T-Dog become a stronger character. My other question is, because in the comic, they go away and come back to get Herschel. Herschel stays on the farm. So my question is, do we lose Herschel next episode? Or does he go with them and they just plan on not coming back post-prison? Or what? I mean, so
I think that
could be anything, which would be a shame because I think he's such a great character.
Well, yeah, because the thing is he's now the consciousness,
he takes over Dale's place.
Yeah.
Well, yeah,
he's more pragmatic than Dale.
That's why Herschel, I think they would what's keep going him.
On. Yeah.
As far as the logic of the series, if there is one.
I think they need more different characters to be able to write the show. I think he would be a character who they can use a lot in a lot of situations. Whereas the likes of T-Dog, who doesn't really have a voice, I think guys like them, they're not going to be really necessarily fighting the keep.
Yeah.
So, you know, Herschel is definitely someone who they can do a lot of shit with, so they won't want to lose him.
Yeah.
And I think with how they're going with the show, if kind of the slow burn, you know, ultimate thing of the show is going to focus on how screwed up Carl's going to be, you sort of need that kind of fallback. You sort of need a voice of reason somewhere in the mix.
Well, and I think what's happened is that because Jeffrey DeMunn came and said, I want out, and he was Dale, they may have then extended another offer to Herschel, the actor who plays Herschel, to say, hey, how would you like to stick around? Rather than doing the thing of, you know, possibly we might bring you back later or not, or kill you or whatever. So I think that's a good plan. And while I agree that I can see where you could have characters like, what's her name? Carol and T-Dog and the son, who are basically there to be body count when necessary. I mean, let's face it. That's what they're there for, which I think is a crying shame, because there is something to be said for. I will be disappointed if at the end of the series, if they try to do some sort of huge body count and all they're doing is killing people that we haven't learned to like, you know what I mean? But on the other hand, I'm like, I also don't kill anybody I like. don't fucking kill Daryl. But I also don't think they're going to kill Daryl, because I think Daryl, because they're introducing him in the comic, I think they at least have enough marketing sense to go, no, this could play well in the comic. Let's keep him in the series. And
so wait, they just put, cause I haven't been keeping up with it. They just now put Daryl in the comic.
My understanding is that there is a teaser ad for the next story arc after the one that's going on now that shows basically, Daryl with, you know, a character with a crossbow looks surprisingly like Daryl's. So.
Okay.
And my understanding is that Norman Reedus on the set would constantly give Kirkman shit going, so, when you put me in the comic, dude. Which you can do. Oh, we lost Lee. Oh, bye, Lee.
Bye, Lee.
Bye.
So, anyway.
Oh, so, yeah, I saw this. I just looked up the preview you're talking about. If it's not Daryl, then I'll be damned.
That is such a tease.
So, I don't know. But I will say that I am not displeased with the second season. I think it was a little bit slow coming back from the break because I don't like the break. I really think the breaks do more harm than good. It was the same thing with Doctor Who. It's been the same thing with Walking Dead. You lose all your momentum. And then you're basically, unless you do plan it like two mini seasons, which
yeah.
neither of them did very well.
See, that's what I was going to ask you. Does it, for you, would it work better if there was like basically two main storylines that ran through?
Well, no, I think
ran through the halves. If there was like one storyline that kind of fed into the storyline of the second part, but there was a complete ending at the end of that eight episodes, and then you kind of start something else and build toward.
Well, let me put it to you this way. Is that the first half of the second season was great in that it built to the ending with Sophia, which was brilliant. I mean, it made the entire slow burn of the first half make complete sense. And I thought the payoff was worthwhile. But the problem was they didn't come back in the second half of the second season and then pick up with something new and run with it with the feeling of, okay, now let's go with this. It still felt like, okay, they're still writing. And this may have not been their decision. It may have been forced on them. They wrote the season as though there was no break. You know, that's what it felt like. Because they never came back from the break with any kind of oomph to get it started.
And I think at one point, I don't know if it was Kirkman, but I know somebody involved with the show actually said that.
Yeah. Well, that
they weren't aware of the break before the break happened.
Well, my thing would be just call it the second and third season. And then, you know, do it that way. Unless there's some contractual thing that fucks with you, call it what it is. It's just two mini seasons.
Well, you know, I think part of the reason you had the forced break this time, that maybe they didn't know about was because when they went into production, for season two, we didn't know that Mad Men wasn't going to come back for, like another 7 months. So they may have used that to pad time for, to get, Mad Men back up. And I think the Killing's coming back at some point. So they didn't have anything else to stick in that spot.
Yeah. Well,
didn't they burn through this last season of Breaking Bad in like one shot? Just about.
I know
the next season of Breaking Bad is what, six episodes maybe? I think
it's
the last
final season.
Well, it's a full season, but they're splitting it up.
Oh, is it now? Okay.
They are splitting it up. I was listening to an interview with Bryan Cranston. He was mentioning that. Actually, that brings me to a point that I wanted to bring up a little bit ago. Have you watched Breaking Bad, Widge?
No, it's on the list.
Okay. All right. Because you didn't watch The Wire, and you're sadly mistaken for not. Well, initially.
Oh, no. You have to understand. It wasn't that I didn't watch The Wire because
I know you hated it. You didn't want to. You didn't want to watch it because you already hated it before you watched it. But
all right, lay off the pipe, John. No, I just didn't watch it because I didn't have cable, so I couldn't watch it initially. But no, I mean, and I just don't watch television. I am extremely selective on what I watch because I mean, like, I know people who absolutely love Justified. And I watched one episode of it and went, I can't do this because it's just not, I didn't think it was good enough to watch. Now it may have evolved into something awesome.
No, it didn't.
Oh, okay.
I tried watching the entire first season and at the end I was just like, oh, okay.
Well, and the same thing, I will just stop because, I mean, I never even watched the final episode of the second season of Deadwood. And I thought the first season of Deadwood was probably one of the most solid single seasons of television ever. I fucking loved it. And I could not believe the second season was as limp as it was and just never, ever got started. It's
limp is never good.
No, I mean, it's literally the equivalent of the, you know, the difficult sophomore album. The same thing with Dexter. I mean, I remember tweeting I watched the second season of Dexter in like a weekend, and on episode 9, I went watching episode 9 of Dexter season 2, waiting for the season to start. I mean, it was just like, wow. So, I mean, I think that's part of the problem as well. And, you know, Lee could speak to this had she not collapsed. She just didn't want to snore on mic. Is that, you know, you get a show and you get renewed and you would put so much effort in the first season. You just go, oh, fuck, they want us back when?
Well, wasn't part of, in the case of Dexter, X-Files. Wasn't that? In the case of Dexter, Doctor wasn't Who. That?
Okay, tell me. Anybody else? Go, yes. Bueller. Price is Right. No, sorry. Yeah. Tuffley.
In the case of Dexter, wasn't that the fact that they actually, to get the material for the first season, they slammed like three of the books together?
I have no idea. I've not read any of the books.
And I know they went through a lot of the books in like the first season.
Well, but I mean, the thing about that is
and they
that,
ran out of books.
Well, but I mean, again, you know, not to denigrate the books because I haven't read the books and yeah. The books might be fabulous. But I'm just saying, when it comes up with original stories for, you know, crime fighter serial killer who kills serial killers, I mean, I you know, we could probably the six of us on the call go have a lunch and come up with 12 story ideas. Just going, well, what about this? What about this?
Yeah. You know, and what really did you do on that day, Rox?
I can't.
Well, Rox, let's just say hypothetically.
When you legally acquired those corpses.
So, Rox, when you were working as a resurrection person, shall we say, just let's say hypothetically, completely off the record and hypothetically, okay. What sort of knife would you use in this scenario?
So, Rox, basically, while you were a cleric in your off time.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah. One of those
a cleric.
Knives. They're good. Yeah.
Was she a magic
can
user too?
Can you get it on Amazon?
Yeah, she can. What? You can get them at Target, Scott.
No. Amazon. What? We can get a kickback. All right,
yes. You can get the whole line of Henkel knives on Amazon. Go through meatcoffee.com, please. Right now.
Ding.
Ding. Done.
Oh, God. There you go.
Yes, get all your murder kit accessories off of Amazon.
It cuts through a tin can, a tomato, and human bone, if you did that sort of thing.
That's right. And ask
ladies.
And we can always call up Din about the lime and tarpaulins, you know. So
Jesus.
We're the best place to get
that. Weekend Justice, your mass execution consultants.
Now, yep. I had a Walking Dead question.
Okay.
Yes, Aaron.
I know we passed by it by like 20 minutes, but
that's never stopped us before.
Like
the Horde, we're turning around and coming back.
I was wondering
it's
if
an
anyone
instant callback, Aaron.
I know we saw Daryl's brother in like a dream hallucination.
Yes.
Does anyone think we'll actually see him again?
Yes.
I would do like to. Oh, you know what?
Because everyone thought that he would be a governor sort of character. Now we know it's not going to be that.
I can see him being a governor henchman.
I don't know.
No. If you look at it this way, Daryl's resourceful that even though he's got no hand, he would be the type of person a governor needs in order to start the whole as bad as of a Thunderdome type village he's created, the people he got knew what to do. The governor did. I can see Daryl's brother working for him. I can see that.
And does anyone else
is
think
this
that
his
the,
other brother Daryl?
Yes.
Go ahead, Aaron.
The quote unquote 30 guys that the were the other gang, are they going to be governor's men? Or, I mean, is this basically going to be, are they going to basically just circle everything around the governor? Is what I'm saying. Because if they're going to have him as a regular character, surely they must have a lot of shit going on in his spot that we're going to see.
Maybe. I don't know. It's possible. Because what you may see is, I mean, especially if the area is becoming overrun, then you may see all of these other, like, marauder type gangs basically coming into a place where they are needed and can be useful and have some safety in numbers. So that I can see that making some sense.
Yeah, because I don't feel like we're going to see the governor's town the way we saw it in the comic book. I think that's one of the things they're going to change. I think he may be called the governor because he's a leader of a group, but I don't think he'll be a leader of a town in the way that he is.
Well, but I mean, the one thing I would say is I think you would still have a town because I can, or a quote unquote town, because it would seem to me a lot easier to protect yourself if you had an area that you could wall off, you know?
Yeah. But I feel like they would look like Mad Max sort of guys though. You know what I mean?
Oh yeah. Actually, there were elements even in the comic where they tried to, I mean, the whole weird entertainment thing, he knew to keep people busy without going stir crazy in such an area. I mean, it was crazy, but I can see the psychology involved. I mean, the governor wasn't stupid. I mean, he was crazy, but he wasn't stupid. There's a difference.
Right.
You know?
No, I'm just in my underwear.
Okay. Except John.
What? All right, I'm back. What?
Well, I missed something, but that's okay. All
right. No, you just around. You just missed somebody's new ringtone.
Oh.
by that somebody, I mean Scott.
But I can see where they handle, you know, it won't be, you know, a Thunderdome, I think. I think it'll be kind of a village, but you'll see the barriers and stuff like that.
But isn't this kind of what you're liking, Widge, about this, is you're not getting exactly what's in the comic?
Oh, no, I'm completely happy with not getting what's in the comic, because I can watch the show and still be surprised.
That's the thing.
Whereas Game of Thrones, you don't even need to read the book now.
No, I mean, you do. I mean, but part of the thing is, if you've read the book, I wrote a post about this. What I get out of watching Game of Thrones is, you know, Cosette goes, oh, look at these awesome costumes. And I go, oh, look at these awesome casts, you know, and that's about it. There was the one scene between the king and the queen in the first season, which was,
that was good.
That was an amazing scene.
That was a good scene, yes.
But anyway, Aaron, you were going to jump in. What do you got?
I would say, and I've talked about this before, I'll be brief, but I prefer almost if they did nothing from the comic books anymore and just did completely brand new stuff from here on in, because what's brand new, I've liked. Mm-hmm. A lot more than what they've tried to do from the comics. The more they veer off, the more I can just enjoy it and not have those two parts of my brain going, well, this is not how it happens, and I prefer it the other way, and what's going on? I understand, like, it's much more enjoyable watching because it is different, but I almost wish it was completely different in sometimes, and we just had a zombie TV show and not necessarily the Walking Dead zombie TV show.
Well, I take your point on that, but I think that I can't see. First of all, I can't see how that would happen, because unfortunately, you have to have something in one media before it can translate to another medium. You know, so they were able to at least make a pitch for, you know, it's again talking about, like, you know, when you want to do a Kickstarter, you have to show a Kickstarter video to prove that you can do what you say you're going to do. And so when you go to someone like AMC or even HBO, which they were pitching it to originally, you can at least show, look, I have, you know, at that point, I don't know, 80, 85 issues of a comic book. In fact, I have, I don't even know how many trades that translates into. Here is this fucking, you know, 12 pounds of book that we can we can.
Oh yeah, just toss the compendium on somebody's desk. Here you go.
Yeah. And so I mean, I take your point, but I am fine with them taking cues from the comic book, like, oh, eventually we all knew Shane was going to die eventually. We knew that there were going to be zombies in the barn. We know that there's going to be a prison. There are certain landmarks that I would like them to hit, because I think that they are interesting enough, because they were interesting in the comic, and I would like to see them playing out in the television show. Because I mean, it makes sense to go, okay, if the place is overrun and we're not going to go hang out with the governor and those wackos, in fact, we don't even know they're there, what can we do? I don't know. Here's a prison. I mean, that I've never seen that in a comic, in a zombie movie or anything before, of just, I don't know, let's go hide in a fucking prison. You know? So there's certain things like that that I would like to see played out, that I'm fine with them taking a spin off of, because I mean, you know, for me, it's, and again, that's just the way my brain works, is I can go, yes, well, they're not ruining the comic, because the comic is still there. And if I want to go relive that for some bizarre reason, if I really want to fuck myself up for, you know, 3 days again, I can just go read the comics again. But I see where you're coming from on that. And I think what we're going to find is that, especially now that, you know, Dale is gone, because Dale was the, what we've talked about before where they veered off of the comic is nothing compared to Dale leaving. I mean, that is huge as far as what may happen. So I think you're going to see maybe, probably 10 or 20% the comic. And the rest of it, they're just going to play around with.
I mean, Tyrese is a big player on the prison too.
I'd love to get a Tyrese. And here's, you know, honestly, what I would really love more than anything else is I would love for this Christmas, for them to do an adaptation of the story where you went back to, what's his face from the, who found him?
Oh, the dad and the son.
The dad and the son. Yeah. Yes, great. I don't know. I don't know if this was collected. I think it was in one of the books, but there's a great Christmas story where you go back to them. It's probably the only time we've ever left Rick and his party, is you go back to them and it's them having Christmas, and it would make a great 15-minute webisode something, or an extra or something. I would just love to go back to them again.
So you'd like a Walking Dead Christmas special?
I would absolutely, because it really was a great story of trying to raise a son and not lose. I mean, kind of like a parallel to what Rick and
What's
Carl are going
Carl?
Through.
Yeah.
Is that what do you do? I mean, it's Christmas, and you've got a son who's old enough to remember that Christmas used to be awesome. And now it's like, well, we're in a house and there's blankets over all the windows, and we have to kind of crawl through the circuitous route to get in here, and we could die. Merry Christmas. I mean, it's really quite moving, actually. So I would love to see them do that as a bonus, whether it winds up on a Blu-ray or it's a Christmas special, or even if it's just online, bring those two actors back and do it. I mean, and again, at this point, are we ever going to see him again? Because in the comic, we see him again. I don't know. But I think Aaron, your wish is going to be granted more and more as characters. I mean, certain characters are going to be around for the long haul, because they recognize that, you know, this is a really great place to be for them career-wise. even if they are, I mean, even if, and again, I would love to see the lesser characters get more written up so they can be more fully formed. But I mean, you can't deny that even like somebody like T-Dog, if he wanted to, you know, beyond just getting other gigs off of this, he could do conventions now until the end of time, and make a good coin.
Now, are they filming during September this year?
Tuffley?
I don't know for sure. I talked to Rob earlier when I sent you the thing. And I know that they're filming here in May. But here's what I'm thinking. This is what I kind of told Rob. If they're filming in May and they are specifically planning on having two blocks, that it may be possible that they are actually filming as a break.
You're going a little robo there, Tuffley, it sounds like.
Oh, Sorry.
That's okay. Your lovely wife is probably downloading some new module for Mass Effect 3, and so it's affecting your ability to communicate.
Did you just say Ass Effect 3?
No, I said Mass Effect 3.
Okay.
Now,
I've seen that movie.
I know you have. Well, Scott is currently playing that game.
That's a different Commander Shepard, Aaron.
Wow. Where do you see his Shepard's crook?
Ladies.
Matt.
Man.
Jesus.
Because they're filming 16 episodes this year, and apparently they are in fact planning for the break this time, they may actually film half of it and then come back and film the other half. Depending on, which also depends on the story, because if they do some sort of jump, which I, if I recall correctly, was there a jump during the governor prison thing?
Not really.
Okay.
I mean, they may have done like, a week has passed or something like that, but they've never done like a TV style. Well, we've come back to this season and it's now a year and a half later.
Okay.
But I think part of my thing would be they would need to be careful with doing jumps. First of all, they need to do them better if they were trying to do one with the injured kid they made mention of the fact, it's been a little while, but not long enough for him to be running around from zombies after he's had his leg fucking impaled. And you know what? That's what it is. It's that Rock's here.
Why was he wearing a jacket?
I know. Yeah. Everyone's wearing a freaking jacket.
Now, I can see where, I can see where they were talking about how it's getting colder. So at least they have at least mentioned it.
God, it gets colder in January. You know that.
I know.
We didn't have a winter this year. No, we don't.
I know.
Did you wear a jacket, Tuffley?
I seldom wear a jacket.
Most of the time, actually.
All right.
Well, I seldom wore a jacket, but that's because I'm trying to stay cold and like burn fat. But and by that I mean large things of fat.
And you also have a warming pelt.
Yes, I do. Yes, I do. And also a beard. But anyway.
And unless I am not mistaken, that's a sexual reference?
Not really.
No, sexual reference would be referring to
which
wages
I think you can take the fifth either way with that. That's fine, and we can just leave it at that. But
I'd like to drink a fifth right now, actually. Now that you mention it, but yes, so that's what we know about Walking Dead, which is not much. Okay, so we should probably do now that Aaron stepped away, we should probably do introductions. since we're almost to the point of doing recommendations almost.
Well, since half the podcast is left, it's a perfect time for introduction.
Well, you know, what we're doing is we're following in the footsteps of all these things, and we're doing a break in the middle as well. So
I'll be back in a little bit.
Oh, wait. So this is the part where we should take the break and then be quiet for 30 minutes and then come back and pretend we didn't do any. We did the 30
just
minutes.
Try to pick up where we left off and lose all our momentum. Yeah, exactly.
No, we did the 30 minutes. It's there. We did
it's
that.
There. It's I can add it in post, is what you're saying. So sure, I'll add it in post. God. All right, so yes, we'll do introductions, and we'll do them starting now.
We've seen you staggering out of the work week, but now it's time to buck up, little camper. The weekend is here. This is a needcoffee.com podcast, and we're going to help you the rest of the way home. Stand by for Weekend Justice.
Watch out, my motor, swindle the promoter, took the lunatics for a ride, and a little voice inside my
just a minute while I clarify. Cool down my temper, I try to remember what it was I wasn't to lose. And I probably...
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of Weekend Justice. It's the Weekend Justice Podcast here on needcoffee.com, the internet's number one audio train wreck. Except no substitutes. And by that, I mean those DVDs of the action thing, which had Tom Berenger in it, where he played a substitute teacher with a gun. We're here in the Hall of Weekend Justice with the Weekend Justice League, and I will endeavor to introduce them going from my right to your left. We have Roxas Spesshouse. Hi, Rox.
Always use Henkel knives.
For everything.
For everything.
Everything. Excellent choice. We also have Tuffley's with us. Hi, Tuffley.
Hello. I'm actually here.
I know.
Yes, so, internet, it's true.
I know. So Tuffley had no Mass Effect, no hockey. He even tried calling a few of his real friends. They weren't home. He even tried going to the Starbucks. It was closed, and he went, oh, fuck it, I'll get on Weekend Justice.
Weekend Justice with all your options run out.
Does your wife know you're on the podcast?
She does, in fact.
Oh, okay. Tell Kim we said hi.
It's Tuesday night. Do you know where your spouse is? No, he's not having an affair. He's on Weekend Justice.
Now, see, all you have to do in the case of that is the thing I told you about the it's 10 o'clock. Do you know where your children are?
Yes.
Do the Paul Stanley Gene Simmons ad. Do you know where your spouse is?
Oh, God. Nice. All right. And we also have Scott C as well as. Hi, Scott.
Happy Uranus Day.
But it passed, Scott.
Beware the ice giant.
Friday.
Yeah, that's coming out Friday. So what is it Friday?
It's happy. Get your iPod 3 day.
iPod 3?
iPad.
It's iPad also iPad. St. Patrick's Day Eve on Friday.
Yes.
Well, wait a minute. Didn't they roll that back? Didn't they actually roll out the ship date?
What?
No.
For St. Patrick's Day?
It's the same as every year.
No, they can't change St. Patrick's Day, you bastards.
All right, the eve of St. Patrick's Day, that's when all the snakes go out to the bars and they can talk.
The pubs. They go and have a...
Yeah, they do that because they want to hook up.
They have a smackdown or whatever they call it.
Isn't that
a shift, yes.
Irish fleece gullible Americans Day?
Well, in fairness, that's every day for us.
Oh, yes.
And they work as a team, all 14 of them. And that would be Aaron. Hi, Aaron.
Hello.
Hello. And of course, we got John Boutel manning the boards. Hi, John.
Give me 2 seconds, and I will have filed my taxes. Okay. And continue. Done. Okay.
Scott is yawning because he's bored. You're filing your taxes on the podcast.
Yes.
Oh my God. We are the most boring podcast fucking ever.
Listen, no. This is just a podcast to file taxes to.
I would like to object to the sexist term that John is manning the board. John is personing the board. A woman could do the job just as well.
All right. John is massaging the board. Feel better?
Let's give the job to Lee and see how well it does.
You know, you remember that back in the dark wilderness days when people forgot to record the podcast? I think we'd be going back to that.
Yeah.
I would just be afraid she'd put her eye out with the board.
Yeah.
The soundboard, it'll put an eye out.
Button three.
The fact that we went like 150 episodes with only one spilt drink on the board, I think is a testament to how much less John drinks than Lee.
Yeah.
How much more careful I am, how much more I value my...
better balance you have.
At least small, so you think our center of balance would be much better.
He's probably put up barriers around that thing. No.
Tosser like a dwarf.
Oh, I just thought about that. Do you think these could break up leprechaun
like a little person?
Wait.
Somebody like Gimli, okay, from Lord of the Rings. He calls himself a dwarf.
Okay,
a dwarf.
I honestly don't want on the soundboard anything about Rock saying tossing off a dwarf. I just don't. That's not right.
And my axe.
I can't say the wolf anymore without trying to say it like the guys from Spinal Tap. It was in danger of being crushed by a dwarf. I just don't know why he says it like that, but I have to say it like that from now on.
And time, it's Rob. Hi, Rob.
Hello.
What am I in time for?
Well, let's see.
I can't talk.
Well, we've we talked about Irish dating rituals, which involves less killing of chickens than you would think. We talked about
choking of chickens. On the other hand,
you have chickens. On the other hand,
yes.
Oh,
and a dolphin.
Sorry, Charlie. We also talked about the brand new venue, which maybe you might be able to DJ at Club Rocks. That is going to be cool.
Is this Rocks' club?
Yeah, it's going to be Rocks' club.
So who's on the bike pedaling it to make the energy to make the turntables and everything spin around?
Scott.
We managed to get Michael Stipe to do that.
Like a Zeppelin that like with a long extension cord.
No, I'm actually waiting for the rights that I can put a windmill in my front yard.
Okay,
she's waiting for Apple to complete the technology.
Oh my God! Okay. What is it?
What else?
Well, let me just, because you mentioned Don Quixote. I listened to an In Our Time podcast about Don Quixote. I had no idea that across the pond, it is pronounced, in Britain, rather, it is pronounced Don Quixote.
Yeah.
No clue. Yeah. That is so weird.
Who the fuck told you that?
It's like Don Juan is pronounced Don Juan. In the poem, it's pronounced Don Juan. Because of the way the rhyming scheme was. If you want to know, listen to like any episodes of My Word. And they're always doing it. Yeah, it's like, you know, yeah, the quixotic thing.
Well, Aaron, let me just go listen to the In Our Time with Melvin Bragg, where they talk about Don Quixote, and they have three experts on there, and Melvin and two of the experts call it Don Quixote. And I'm just like, what? So anyway.
Email about Don Juan.
So,
Also, you'll be amazed to find out that they really weren't talking about, you know, Don Quixote. They were talking about certain forms of motorbikes because it is the Don Kickstand.
Oh.
Speaking of weird names, I just found out today about a film that Gene Wilder was in back in the day.
Yeah.
It was an Irish film. It was filmed in Dublin. He played an Irishman who was also a horse manure salesman.
Okay.
Go figure. And his name was Quaxer Fortune.
Oh my God, I've seen that film before.
Of course you have.
Yeah.
What's the name of it, Aaron?
It's like Quaxer Fortune has a cousin in Boston or some shit.
Yes.
Has a cousin in the Bronx, that's it.
Yeah.
Quaxer Fortune has a cousin in the Bronx. 1970 it was made. The trailer is batshit insane. And looks absolutely terrible.
Not as bad as the Frisco Kid.
Margot Kidder played his love interest.
I hated that film.
That was funny. it was no Blazing Saddles, but it was still funny.
Uh-huh.
Quaxer?
No, Frisco Kid.
Okay.
Anyway.
But the reason why I found it is because the late, great David Kelly, who played the grandpa in the... Willy Wonka remake, and also was Ned in Waking Ned. He died recently, and he also was a star in this film. But just Gene Wilder with an Irish accent. It's as mad as you think it is.
I would think
that's my recommendation for this week.
Ding. So yes. So Rob, we also talked about naming stars, Walking Dead. Scott's
Oh my God, Walking Dead.
What is your take on Walking Dead?
Well, first of all, I saw John Bernthal on Letterman last night, and he was actually like surprisingly completely 180 different than his personality on the show, which I thought was really, really great. I have not read the comics, so when this shit happens and I don't see it coming, I really don't see it coming. So, wow. Somebody went to the Russell T. Davies School of Story and Plot. So.
Ooh.
Meow.
No, I thought it was really good though, and I love the cinematography at the end where they're in the field at night. I just thought that was great.
That was good. That was very good, and
incredible.
I am gonna miss him. He was a great actor. I hope he goes on to do awesome shit.
He's in that L.A. Noir thing for Derevon now. That's his new thing he's doing.
Yeah.
For TNT, that might actually be good.
I would like for it to be good. Cool. Let's see. John was filing his taxes because he was so bored by the podcast. And
That is not true, sir.
So Rox was going to tell us about the new iPad that she's drooling over.
Uh-huh.
So you get yours Friday.
Yes.
Okay, yes. So Rox, tell me, because I have an iPad 2, which I got basically because...
Do you have an iPad or an iPad 2?
I have an iPad 2. So Rox, why, apart from the fact that you're an addict, why...
Well, I'm actually going from iPad 1 to iPad 3.
Okay, so you're not a full-on addict in that you have to buy them incrementally.
No.
So tell me what is it about the iPad 3 that excites you?
Well, I'm getting it for the 4G network and the blazing speed it's supposed to have. I probably will use the camera because I use cameras on everything. I mean, I was the one that bought the Game Boy camera. I have like a ton of like weirdo little cameras. So I will probably use the camera. It's a 5-megapixel camera.
I use the camera on the iPad too. I think it's fine.
And basically you have a handheld HD device. The Retina device is supposed to be cool. Also, it's got dictation. It doesn't have Siri, which I found out that people that have iPhones, that apparently Siri becomes stupid. And the one person that mentioned this was Steve Wozniak, that lately, because he used Siri for so long, it's like when he asked for He mentioned the word, you know, he wanted something prime, like prime numbers. And what Siri came up with, other than calling him Rock God, which I hate that commercial, is Siri would give him like sites for prime rib or something. Bye bye.
Hi, Aaron.
So apparently Siri gets stupid the longer you keep her, but it has dictation. And a bunch of other things. It's got like the A5X processor, whatever. So
yeah, the quad core.
Yeah. I don't think there's a real difference in weight. I think it's evening out of.
The screen's bigger, isn't it? I mean, the form factor is the same, but the screen's a little bigger. Do I remember that correctly?
I think they're about the same.
Okay.
Well, it's the Retina. They've gone up to the Retina display.
Yeah.
Well, here's what I find interesting is maybe there's a huge difference between the iPad 1 and 3.
There is. Like,
well, my thing is the iPad 2, and that's partly why I went with the iPad 2 is because as for people who aren't familiar, my whole thing is buy big so that I can keep it until it falls apart in my hand, and then I buy the next one because I am one of these people. Who would, if I didn't have that rule in place, I probably would be addicted to technology and just buy stupid shit over and over and over. I have to protect myself. So, but I will say for the iPad 2, I have been very happy with speed. I have been very happy with the screen. I have it set up to where I can watch videos off of my server, just videos just from wherever. I do use the camera. I mean, the Wi-Fi works fine for me. I do have the 3G model, so I can turn it on as necessary per Rox's recommendation. What else was I going to say? I think the screen quality is fine. I mean, being half blind as I am, I hardly ever can tell the difference between, you know, most of the time when I'm like writing up a Blu-ray or a DVD, I'll just say, yeah, it looks okay. Yeah. If I say, God, this looks fucking amazing. You must know that it must look really fucking amazing if I can tell that it looks fucking amazing. Let me just say the battery life on this before I forget, because I have a memento head. The battery life on it is actually quite astonishing.
It is.
Yeah.
The thing is, there's been reports that the difference between 2 and 3 are nominal. I mean, it's, but if, and because my neighbors are getting it too, so we're going to stand in line because we already pre-ordered.
Which actually, Rox, is why Kim got an iPad 2.
Mm-hmm. Wait, are these the neighbors that threw the condoms in the toilet?
No.
No, that's Brian Setzer.
No, no. These are the ones that dropped off the Fez at 11:30 at night. Just saying. So no, I mean, we got our first one. So we were the, you know, the outliers, you know, the forward thinkers on what we can use the iPad for, or, you know, to how to utilize it. And then we all waited. It's like, oh, well, the upgrades are so well. And the funny thing is I'm going to probably gift this one or something, and my neighbors are going to sell theirs. They already have somebody that wanting to buy the ones. So I'm guessing the people that are buying for Friday are ones that either have not jumped on board at all, or the ones that are replacing the iPad ones.
Rox, I'm going to just say this. I didn't get any Christmas or birthday present from you last year.
Jesus.
Well, here's what I will say. Well, Rox, here's what I'll say. So are they trying to get rid of their, do they have an iPad 1 or 2?
1.
Okay. Well, I will say this, and this is what's actually pretty cool, is I was just looking on Amazon. Even the 16 gig Wi-Fi first generation iPad, you can get $200 of Amazon credit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So the Amazon trade-in thing is pretty fucking awesome.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I went big because mine is the first gen 32 gig Wi-Fi.
Yeah.
And it's been great because I still have like 6 gigs left over. You know, yeah, that's loading up with like 2,500 books. So.
The only thing I wish they did was, I wish that more of the iPhone apps had iPad equivalents, because you can load an iPhone app on an iPad and work it, but it's not.
The upscale is not as good.
Yeah.
No. Yeah. You see the rough edges on some stuff. It looks pretty good.
Yeah.
Oddly enough, like Martha Stewart's food magazine, when you blow it up, it doesn't look too bad. But certain ones are rougher than others.
But Rox, by that you mean actually take it out in the backyard and blow it up.
That's right.
Yep.
Yeah.
So Rox?
Yes.
Do you run sound files or any audio on that?
No, I really don't.
Oh, go ahead.
Go ahead. No, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, I do listen to audio on it from videos. And okay. I wouldn't, now if you're talking about like, are you talking about like from like a DJ standpoint, from jacking it into some speakers or something?
No, for a DJ thing, I don't think it's going to work. Okay. I don't know anybody who's loaded Traktor, which is a DJ software, an iPad.
Yeah.
But I'm just wondering, like, if I download a shitload of music on it, can I play it back on it and basically use that instead of buying a laptop? That could be
like,
a question for Ask Rox.
For regular listening? Now, the speakers are okay. Yeah. The speakers
now, if you
are
had,
just okay. And that's across the board, though.
I could see if you had the iTunes in the cloud thing that might be an okay solution. So that you could stream your stuff in without having to actually use the storage. Because if I'm guessing right, you're probably going to have a crazy big music collection. Yeah. I'm underselling that on purpose. But I'm guessing if you did like the iTunes in the cloud solution, that would probably work for an iPad. But I don't know.
I saw something just real quick for music wise. Apparently now you could increase the bit rate on converting.
Yeah.
So you were stuck at what, 128? You can actually go to 192, I'm guessing.
You can also burn CDs and shit on your iPad, right?
No.
No.
Okay.
Well, here's the thing about the laptop replacement is that you do have you can buy something that gives you an actual keyboard because
like,
you would want
Bluetooth.
Yeah, you would want an actual Bluetooth type keyboard. As far as it only having like the 64 gig of RAM, the 64 gig of memory, sorry, that would bother you, eventually. And I think that it is, it is good for what it's good for, but you would have to have very, you would have to be the kind of person who would be okay with like, shit, what do they call those things? The palm tops or whatever, the web, like basically the Google laptops. Netbooks. Thank you. Netbooks.
Yeah.
Because my, what I have seen is so many people will buy a netbook and then they'll bitch because it's slow. And it's like, well, what did you buy it for? you're completely trying to overrun this thing. I mean, it's like, it's like my problem with my phone is that apart from the fact that it's made by Samsung and is thus satanic, is the fact that it's, the problem that I find with Android is, and this phone specifically is that this is supposed to be like a top of the line for what it was phone, and yet it's completely underpowered to do anything that it promises to do.
See, which really I hilarious. Keep wondering about your phone because my phone works
so
fine. I keep wondering about your phone because I've got a Samsung and it's fine. I'm
no. What Samsung do you have? What Samsung do you have?
I've got the Vibrant, which is the T-Mobile variant.
Now, hang on, what? Scott. He said Vibrant.
Damn.
Stand down.
Damn.
Which is the T-Mobile variant of something remotely close to your hardware.
Yeah,
I think it might be slightly newer than yours.
Well, let me put it to you this way. I tried to act because this is a 2. What is it? What am I on? 2.2, I think, is okay. What I want. And
I'm thinking part of this is the fact that AT&T never got an update to you.
No, there is no update coming. There is no update coming.
But theoretically yours should run 2.3.
No. I checked and it's not going to.
I know what they're telling you.
No, I know. But
theoretically, you should be running 2.3.
Well, here's what kills me.
And there are ways you can do that.
Yes, I know. And I tried them, and after 4 hours, I gave up because I could not even load enough drivers to get to the phone. You have to load 3 fucking separate drivers to get to the phone. One to get it to where you can get to the second driver to get to the third driver. And after part of that was that it's not supported on 64-bit. Windows, so I had to switch to my laptop. It was an absolute fucking nightmare, and I just gave up. But I will say this. It only supported up to 2.2. Right after 2.2 firmware came out, a 2.21 came out. Do you know what 0.01 means when it comes to software versions? Dear listeners, it means, oh, we fucked up. That's what that means. So.
It's a patch.
It is a Samsung. My understanding is it's a Samsung decision not to put a 2.3 on this phone. Which puts this right alongside my fucking Blu-ray player that had no support window whatsoever, and my DVD-ROM burner, which was apparently by Samsung, that also died on me. So, Samsung.
Okay, which
bite my offcut.
Which I take back all the questioning. That is actually your phone. That is actually your shitty phone.
Yes, but it's a phone broken as designed, is what it is. So I would look at it this way. As far as Samsung goes, based on my experience with Samsung products, it's not that my phone is unlucky. It's just that your phone is lucky. So thank your gods, whatever they may be, that you managed to get the one non-shitty Samsung phone. And Samsung, again, can bite my off nut.
Hey, finally something T-Mobile did right. Thank you guys.
My Motorola Bionic rocks, just for the record.
Yeah.
Well, I am hoping that
soon to be Google Mobile Bionic.
Yeah. Well, my hope is that considering that I have to reboot the fucking phone half the time to get the Wi-Fi to work when I move from one space to another, that I'll wear out the power button and have to replace it based on my own rules.
Well, that could be just Comcast, because I mean, if you move 3 inches, Comcast shuts off too. So
no.
I mean.
No,
it could be a combination of both.
Literally, half the time the Wi-Fi will not start on the phone at the phone level, and then half the time, because it's not a Comcast thing to deliver wireless to my phone. That's done through a Linksys router that every other device that comes into this house is fine with, except my phone. So
your phone literally tapped out at 2.2.
Yes.
Okay.
There is no official 2.21 or 2.3 update to my phone.
Okay. See, I think that might be it. I think that's the software then.
Is there a 3.0 coming to your phone?
There is nothing coming to my phone. There is two things coming to my phone, and that is jack and shit. That's what's coming to my phone. At this point, I'm lucky that any app market updates come to my phone.
Yeah, I think they've stopped updating the original. I think they've stopped updating the original Galaxy phones. Because I think Samsung has determined overall it's just not worth it.
We're shit and we should just stop.
But I've always wondered, and I keep asking you that question.
Fuck
about your
you,
phone.
John!
Because I love my phone.
John just texted me two words. Jack and shit. The prophecy is true! God damn it.
Well, your phone worked then.
At least you got that.
Yeah.
If you have nothing else, you have that.
Oh, so here's the deal. So I just...
You might as well have a telegraph.
For the hell of it, I said software update. And then it came back and said, oh, I'm sorry, that's not responding. We're going to have to force it closed. And then now the DIM card's not working. Damn you, Samsung!
You're welcome, Witch.
You fucking assholes!
Actually, Witch, you didn't know this, but Jack and shit are Samsung codes.
Yeah,
so
they
he's probably just activated something.
Oh, God. It's transforming.
You know, ironically? Not ironically. Irony has nothing to do with this.
In a last Morissette ironic way?
Yes. Morissette-ly?
Don't you think?
Samsung is the number one telephone manufacturer in the world.
Well, that's because they take so little time on putting out products and actually researching them that they can just crank them out. And I will put, like, for example, at one point we thought our dryer was dead and we were going to have to buy a new dryer. So I'm looking around, look on, you know, Home Depot, look on this site, look on that site, look on Amazon, look around for what's available. I'm like, Samsung makes dryers? You can fuck off. I don't want my house burning down.
Now, here's a hint, Widge. Do you clean your ducts out annually? Scott, calm down.
Do I clean my ducts? Okay.
Your dryer ducts.
I was about to say, because...
Well, Scott's just finished doing his taxes.
I unless I'm not mistaken, that's a sexual reference?
Yes.
Yearly? Are you kidding me?
Well, yeah. Seven-year-olds don't have to file W-90s.
Well, I'm gonna accuse you of tax fraud, and that is a sexual reference. Yeah, that's tax fraud. Is that faking an orgasm?
That's
I don't know.
A violation of the tax code, sir.
You know, orgasms are little deaths. Yep.
Ouch.
Anyway. Wow.
Clean your duct.
I will clean my duct.
That's a tip.
Whack.
We thought our dryers were broken, and then just turns out, you know, if you don't clean out those dryer vents.
Oh, my gosh. You'll set the house on fire.
It's a strange thing. If the dryer isn't able to get air, it just won't dry your clothes.
That's right.
It's weird. It's weird how that works.
Yeah, funny that.
Yeah, for $100 we fixed the whole problem as opposed to, you know, the $400 to replace the dryer.
Hey, I replaced mine by going on Craigslist.
Yeah, I got a gas dryer though. Those are harder to find.
Yeah.
At least around here in Florida.
Yeah.
This has been Home Talk with John and Rock. Home
This always use penny nails, people.
Not nickel.
I have no idea what a penny nail is.
Not nickel or dime or quarter nails.
Then you're overspending.
Yes. You can get pounds and pounds worth.
Oh, Jesus.
They're sterling.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. It's just a pause that refreshes every 15 minutes on Weekend Justice.
Yes. So Rob, have you seen anything we need to be aware of? Movie-wise, twice.
Yes. No, don't tell us what you saw.
Well, I saw Being Flynn today, which is based on the memoir, Another Bullshit Saturday in Suck City by Nick Flynn. That's his memoir. And it's got Paul Dano and Robert De Niro in it. And I have to say, remember when Robert De Niro made movies where he was like crazy and cussed and he was like scary?
Yeah.
That Robert De Niro is back.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah. I mean, he plays a homeless guy, but he's still, you know, as far removed from the Fockers as possible. So it's really good, actually. Paul Dano, actually, who's a really good young actor, too. I mean, people think because he's got that baby face that he's not really like a legitimate actor, but he goes toe to toe with De Niro pretty well in this thing, and it's pretty well done. And Julianne Moore's in it, and she's always usually pretty good and stuff, so that's good. The Madonna movie, We.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, she's still trying, isn't she?
You know, the funny thing is, Rob, there's a new book out about Wallace Simpson where she actually tried, apparently, the claim in this book is that he was stalking her. And there was no way she could get really away from him.
Right.
That she almost wanted to get back with her husband. There's an article in the New York Times Book Review. You may want to look at it.
Yeah.
And which is funny because I remember reading, there was a magazine back in the 90s called Connoisseur. And they were talking about the jewels and stuff when the Windsor jewels went up for sale, on how there was some like indication on how weird he was.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that she kind of knew that he was just kind of bug shit crazy a little bit. I mean, he was the one that, you know, contacted the Nazis to, you know, see about overtaking England so they can put him back on the throne. You know, Nazi sympathizer that he was. Anyway,
but this is, I mean, the movie sort of furthers my belief that recording artists should never direct movies.
No,
it's just, it's not really great. So, especially
that, you know.
Yeah, but Scott would like the costumes, and I think Cosette would like the costumes. But you know,
well, they were up for an Academy for that.
So, can I ask a question? Does Madonna think she's like the rogue of entertainment? If she can just marry someone who has a talent, she can absorb it?
Well, it works pretty well for her. So.
Wow.
I mean,
working.
When she was fucking Sandra Bernhardt, she wasn't doing comedy. So,
there's that.
Wow.
So, I think she acquired the bisexuality from her.
Yeah.
So Rob, Coriolanus is here now, so I'm going to go catch that.
Oh, it's incredible.
I can't wait.
Sounds kinky.
Now, the other thing that's really good, the other thing that I really like is Rampart. Woody Harrelson's great. I mean, Woody Harrelson, you know, I don't know why. Cheers has been off the air for like 25 years or whatever, but people still think Woody Harrelson is the guy from Cheers. And it's like, no. I mean, Woody Harrelson makes these great under-the-radar movies that he's really awesome in. And he never gets any, like, big pops for it. He's really great in this. And there's a really great scene in Rampart where, you know, someone comes to him and said, you know, he's hiding in his house. And somebody comes to him and says, did you do all the things that you said you did? And he's like, yes, you know, I did, but I never hurt anybody who deserved it. And this girl goes, except me. And you're like, whoa, you know, it's just really fucking tense. And he totally fucking carries it. And I wasn't expecting much going into it. So it's actually pretty good. I would recommend that. I mean, if you like Woody Harrelson, or if you want to see like a really good character-driven film, it's really pretty incredible. And the thing about Woody Harrelson, too, is he can almost sort of mold into any character. I mean, he does these really great creepy guys awesomely well. But he can also do kind of like the lovable creepy guys. So, you know, the entire time he's playing this bad cop in a movie, you're totally not buying into it that he's completely bad, which I know sounds really weird, but it's just kind of how it is. And he's really great in it. So, and then the other thing that I'd recommend is Thin Ice. I don't know if you guys have heard about this. It's the new Greg Kinnear, Leah Thompson movie with Billy Crudup.
No, I haven't heard about it. What is it?
Okay. Well, it's a dark comedy. It's set in Wisconsin, and basically, it's sort of like this tropical. It's kind of if Fargo were set in an environment where it was like the frozen ice all the time, you know. It's I don't even want to describe it, but basically, it's an insurance guy goes apeshit, and you know, he starts killing people, and it's pretty great. So
it's sort of like falling down if you were an insurance agent.
Well, no, it's a little different than that. It's more of a noir film than Falling Down.
Okay.
Yeah. You know, basically, this guy takes advantage of a retired farmer, and then it just sort of spins out of control because there's a locksmith that sort of hangs around with the insurance guy. It's kind of onto him, and it sort of creates this web of, you know, will one person catch the other person before this and this? I'm trying to not give away a spoiler for it. So, but it's a really well acted film. So, and then Ridge, you're gonna love it. Corey Harris.
I can't wait. I'm really looking forward to it.
Yeah. That's it. And then Monday's Hunger Games, and then that's it for me.
You get to see Hunger Games.
Rob.
Yeah.
Good God.
Yeah. I'm going to say this in advance, just so you understand that I will understand your pain. I am very, very sorry you're going to have to go see Hunger Games.
What?
Well.
Why?
No, I mean.
Have you seen
it? I'm going to regret it. I'm going to go.
I've read the books. I wasn't really happy with. Well, at least the first book. I wasn't really happy with the book.
Really?
I get the impression that, it reminds, and I haven't seen it yet, but to me, looking, and I haven't read the book, but looking at it and the style of it, it reminds me of either Battle Royal or Running Man.
Yeah. Running Man's not too far off.
So.
Well, I mean, that's what it is, so.
It's Running Man meets Survivor.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yikes.
Meets The Lottery.
But the people that are in it, I have some hope for it.
Lenny Kravitz?
The cast looks good.
Yeah. Wish, did you see Frankenstein yet?
No.
Okay.
Because it's not, they haven't released a, I thought that was like May, wasn't it? They haven't announced the new date yet, I thought.
Okay. I didn't know if it was already out or if it was coming around. Well, it's starting to make the rounds end of this month.
Okay. Well, I did, just so you know, and we're talking about the fact that the National Theatre out of the UK will do live performances and broadcast them simulcast into theaters in the US. I did contact the National Theatre about, the fact that they don't have really any theaters in Atlanta proper, or even on, they just have one, which would be considered inside the Atlanta metro area, which at the time of day that they're showing these things, would literally be an hour and a half one-way trip for me to get over there.
Yeah. Because what they do is they're taped, and basically every theater has it stored on a hard drive.
Mm.
So the theaters could totally rearrange the show times if they needed to.
No, I know. But part of my thing is that they I did let them know that, you know, since they're probably as familiar with geography over here as I am with geography in the UK, that – they shouldn't be looking at, I heard back, I exchanged a couple emails with them, very nice people, but I said, don't just look for Atlanta, look in the metro area. Here's some ideas for where you can look. And the other thing I said was, you know, is there any plans to release them on DVD? And they said they were working on that, but there were rights issues, of course, that they were having to deal with. But it was not out of the question, is what I got. So,
well, you know, I'm surprised they haven't gone the route that Rift Tracks went with the buying, the basically buying a pass for like to watch it on Ustream or something.
I would buy the shit out of that.
Because the last couple of Rift Tracks things have been, the last couple of live Rift Tracks things have been actually online.
Yeah.
Well, I'm surprised they're not jumping on board considering the Met. Opera simulcast in the theater
over there.
Doing fantastic.
And I think, what is that? That's on Fathom, isn't it?
Yes. They're all Fathom. Yeah. They're all Fathom.
Okay.
Yeah, because, I mean, here it's not billed as a Fathom event. It's more billed as a Landmark Theater event. But I don't know if they are aware that, you know, this is a huge market. I mean, I don't, even if they showed on PBS once, you know, and all those national, I usually try to go see every single one of those things because they're all, even if there's like not a Cumberbatch in it or, you know, not a James Corden in it or whatever, they're all really great. There's one about Bulgakov that they made a couple weeks ago that was great. And I don't know why more theaters don't do it. They should have done that with the David Tennant, Catherine Tate.
Oh, great.
Shakespeare.
Yes. Yes. You know? That would have been huge.
And, you know, at the same time, like, they're talking about New York doing that with The Death of a Salesman.
Oh, wow. Right now.
That's another thing they should be doing. I mean, if they want to keep live theater going in the country, they need to do that stuff. And I'm not necessarily worried about, you know, I'm in a piddly-ass shit market. And Atlanta's a big market. I get it. But if you want people to really get theater that have never seen it, you make that shit available in, like, you know, Kansas or South Dakota or places that don't have a chance to go to theater. If you really want, you know, enhance the theater experience, that's what you need to do. And I think these people in England are starting to really get the idea that this stuff is marketable over here. But I think the equity laws are so messed up and so weird that, you know, what they get paid for a play is X amount under equity. But then if they do a play and it's taped and it's shown, then it's considered like a video or a film, and the pay level that they get or the residual thing goes up.
Isn't that unless the BBC airs it, because then BBC, there's a certain level of pay they can do because the BBC is subsidized by public funds.
Yeah.
Well, it's like, you know, we don't even do the broad. Remember HBO would show. I mean, that's where you could see, you know, the Angela Lansbury's Sweeney Todd.
I remember Showtime used to do that.
They don't even do that anymore.
Well, A&E doesn't do that anymore.
Well, hang on. I do know that, for example, HBO did do that with Sunset Limited recently. Tommy Lee Jones directed and starred in it with Samuel L. Jackson. It was two-hander written by Cormac McCarthy. And it was basically a filmed play. It was basically them on a proscenium stage. So I think they do it. They just don't do it as often. And I remember them, HBO, doing that with something else recently, too. And then they released it on DVD because they do that.
Like, I'm curious because there's this James Earl Jones play in London I really wanted to see.
What, was this Cat on a Hot Tin Roof that they did?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, apparently, 10 cities. Oh. 10 fucking cities they showed it. And I had no idea. I would have driven to Chicago to see it.
I would have loved to fucking see that. Because, well, they did it here as well. They did it on Broadway. And they changed up the cast a little bit. I think they had, in London, they had, I'm blanking on his name, from Hustle.
I know what you mean.
You know what I'm talking about. But, yeah, wasn't it James Earl Jones and Felicia Rashad in both places? Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. God, how fucking awesome would that be? Oh, it hurts.
I mean, one, it would solve a huge problem because theaters need people to go, need to get, movie theaters need to have new people come to a movie theater, right? So, one, if you just designate two theaters for morning or like a morning or a Sunday morning or Sunday afternoon, and it can be the film that's selling the least. You know, designate that and show different theater from across the country and across the world. People would pay to see that. They totally would. You know,
well, I kind of think they have something like that with the kids program where they run the kids movies at a certain time of day during the summer.
But I mean, like, I'm trying to arrange this trip to New York, and I'm figuring out all the theater I want to see. And it's going to – I'm basically filling up all my nights with, like, okay, theater and then rock concerts. I mean, it's like it would be much easier if I knew if I'm going to miss the stuff I missed. If I knew something was going to be broadcast later, I'd go see something else I want to see that I'm going to miss, you know. And it's a huge opportunity, and they're blowing it. But having said that, these national theater shows are awesome. They're all pretty great. And – you know, you would think you lose something because it's on film, but actually you don't lose that much. Most of their theater stuff, I think they do in the round, and the way they stage it, you can see pretty much most of it. It's pretty awesome. So, yeah.
Well, I'm hoping that they get their shit together and start. I'm like, we're a top 20 market, for God's sake. Show it here. Yeah, somewhere.
We are, I think, 27th, and I stopped before you, which makes no sense.
Yeah. No sense at all.
You know, and that's the thing maybe we can ask Patrick Stewart about is, like, you know, how did English stage actually, you know, if your Hamlet got shown on PBS, why didn't it get shown in theater? You know, he would be a person to maybe ask that question because he might know how the equity rules, you know.
Well,
I would think the David Tennant version of Hamlet with Patrick Stewart and David Warner would have been a prime example to test this out on. And then another example would have been the David Tennant, Catherine Tate thing. That also would have been great. You know, there's a lot of really awesome people doing awesome stage shows that needs to be seen.
I agree. And here's something else that I would say. For anyone who's going to New York, the Lincoln Center, when they have shows there, here's what I understand. They film all of them and keep them in their archive. Uh-huh. And if you can come up with a reason for why they should let you in to watch it, they will let you in to watch it. Like if you're doing a thesis or a book or something. So a really that is how I want to go see the Steve Martin, Robin Williams Waiting for Godot. That they did, with Bill Irwin as the third hand on that. So.
That's gone, isn't it?
Oh, no, that's years ago. They did that for like 4 weeks and gave out the tickets in a lottery. I mean, it was fucking crazy. But for the fact that they filmed it and have it there, means to me that I need to figure out a book to write about it. But anyway.
You just write an article about it and put for neat coffee.
There you go. I'm assuming that journalism will get you in. Well, we shall see. So we should probably move towards recommendations. No, you're fine. I wanted to get the Rob update. So,
God help us all.
I know. So, recommendations then. Who wants to go first?
Okay.
All right. Toughly got in first. Go, Toughly.
Okay. So I'm going to start off with a comic. Yes. I read one. I'm going to go with Marvel's Journey into Mystery, which is, has been growing on me a bit. There are two trades. Well, actually, there's one trade out now, and there's one that's about to drop later this week. And don't get worried, because when you look up these, when you start to look these up, they're both tied in with Fear itself, but it has absolutely nothing to do with the storyline that I can tell. But these are really fun kind of books. And basically what they've done is through a convoluted other crossover that I have no idea about, Loki has apparently been reduced to a 13-year-old kid.
Okay.
And and also due to another crossover, I think probably with Civil War, Asgard is now crash landed onto a Midwestern city. So they are mixing it up with the commoners. Which is really weird. So he's 13 years old. He has
Hang on. Did you say they were mixing it up with the Commodores?
No, the commoners.
Oh, okay, good. All
right, yeah. Good. No, Lionel Richie. Damn.
Sorry.
But they're mixing it up with the commons. So he's basically a 13-year-old kid with the powers of Loki. Shake, go. It's
all porn all the time.
Yeah, it's actually quite fun. And it plays a lot with the mythology, and it's been really a fun read so far. So, I will suggest that. Both of the trades that are out now, both are stuck with the Fear itself title. But again, don't panic. It has almost nothing that I can tell to do with, the actual crossovers they're supposedly tying into, but it's pretty good. I will also recommend the new album from Delta Spirit, which is, also called Delta Spirit. It's a really good album, and they've been kind of going a little bit further from the roots rock they were doing on the first couple of records. It's still really close to it, but they've added a lot more guitars to it, and it sounds really nice. There's a single out now called California, which is pretty awesome, and you can check that out. I'm done. Ding.
Cool. Thank you, Toughly. All right, go, Scott.
Okay. I've only got one recommendation, but it is a giant recommendation. It's huge. Oh, it's massive.
Oh, have you measured it?
It's ginormous.
It's Andre the Giant.
Nope.
No? Okay.
Uranus?
Nope.
Uranus is large, though. The planet.
Is it bigger than a bread box?
It may be. Who uses bread boxes anymore? I don't know. Anyway, Dark Shadows, the complete original series.
As reimagined by Tim Burton.
No. This is the original. This is the original. We're talking 131 DVDs.
With Joan Bennett.
Yes. And Jonathan Frid and all that wonderful gothic 60s vampire action.
See, I thought they were still missing episodes.
They got it all. Some of it's black.
There's like a couple of episodes around a wedding that they don't have or something like that. I had heard that.
You know, yes, you're right.
There's like an episode that ABC wiped the master tape on.
Yes. I don't know if they've got audio of it, though.
Yeah.
I'm not sure.
I'd heard that, but I don't know. They might have found it. They might have found it the same way they find all these, quote, missing Doctor Who's. So.
Right. And it's possible. But it's got tons of extras. It's got, it's actually in a coffin.
Is that Blu-ray? What is that? Is it, it's not Blu-ray, right? It's just.
I don't know what you would gain by having it in Blu-ray.
I would imagine it is.
Yeah. It, no, it's a very large, nice coffin. And that's June. Isn't that out in June?
Wow.
Scott?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, it's June, but I figured I'd mention it because, you
know. I'm just
like, my God.
I know. I'm just setting the stage for people if they want to go out and pre-order it. I don't want them to run out to Best Buy and go, but Wicked Justice said.
Why would they go to Best Buy when they can, you know, buy it through Amazon and through Need Coffee?
Well, I know, but some people are weird.
That's true. Our listeners are weird. Yeah. But, you know, I suggest, you know, I know it's a lot of money. They're saying like $600, but get it before Johnny Depp and Tim Burton fuck it up.
Yes.
Like they fucked up Willy Wonka.
Willy Wonka.
Not literally.
Don't hold back, Scott.
Seriously, the movie that, oh, don't even get me started on that one.
Okay, we won't.
All right. So, Scott, have you donged?
Yes. Done. Dong.
All right. Excellent. Thank you, Scott. All right, who's next? Go, Rob.
Well, first of all, I want to recommend a zine.
Yay, and, zines.
Yeah, I know. It's very strange. Sorry.
No, yay.
No, like one of the weirdest things that's happened is that sort of now, somehow, I'm not really sure how this has happened, but people in Britain have started streaming my show, and I'm starting to get fanzines just showing up at my house.
Oh, wow.
I didn't ask for the mailing list or anything. So, yeah, no, I'm very happy. I'm very happy. But it's also, like, great. But, like, I'm on this, like, someone in Leeds must have put me on, like, fanzine list because I've gotten four from Leeds so far. And there's a really great one from Manchester that's just called M. It's like three M's that's been around forever. And they're incredible. So I recommend that. But I got this zine, which is also online, called Counterfeit. And it covers like Leeds music and new bands and things like that. But the production on it's really great. The website ties into it well. And the writing's actually really strong. So I wanted to recommend that as well, even though no one over there will actually hear that. So I do want to mention that. And then I want to mention a band that's been forgotten but has a new record out. And I wasn't expecting to actually like it very much, but Alabama 3 are still kicking around. And they have a record called Shoplifting for Jesus.
I'd buy it just actually, off the title by itself.
Yeah,
and that's what drew me to it. It's actually pretty great. I was expecting it to be not as good. I mean, you have to understand, it's different than what you would expect it to be. You know, it's not Woke Up This Morning. It's not, you know, Ain't Going to Goa, but it's a little different, and it's nice. So I wanted to recommend that. It's pretty great. And then an interesting band as well called I Am Nothing. And the album's called Red Painted Red. I want to recommend that as well. So those of you in the UK who sent me shit there, I'm talking about it. Leave me alone. Keep it coming. So it's awesome. But I mean, Rox, you understand how great it is to get like a weird fanzine in the mail.
Oh, yeah. Yes. Yeah.
And apparently I'm getting an all Dickens fanzine like in the next week or so.
Really? You need to send that. You need to send that.
Yeah, don't worry. You'll get my hand-me-downs. It's okay.
I know.
Also I want to recommend an interestingly strange and odd book called Taft 2012.
Oh, I've heard of it.
I've heard of this.
What?
By Jason Heller. And Rox would love it, actually. I think
like,
it's right up
like the President Taft?
Yeah, explain to Rox what the premise is so I can hear her brain explode.
Okay.
It's on fire. It's starting.
They're looking, okay, it's 2012. They're looking for a candidate, right? They're trying to, you know, they're trying to find a candidate that fits conservatives and liberals, right? So the person they come up with that would be perfect is William Howard Taft, and he's dead, right? Uh-huh. So it's the whole satire thing of like how do you bring William Taft back from the dead to be president in 2012?
Wow.
And then there's like fake Twitter posts in it and all kinds of stuff. Your head will explode. It is so bizarrely strange and weird, and fun that
I'm writing this down. I need to get
and I can just send you mine when I'm done with it if you want to wait. I've got an arc I can send you if you don't, you know, if you don't mind, you know, the wait.
No, I'll wait. No, I'm good.
But it's quite fun, and I think you'll dig it.
Oh my gosh, eventually. You know they can keep doing that. Then it'll be Van Buren 2040. That'll be great.
Or Chester Arthur 2050, because you know the lamb chops are coming back. Sadly.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know, it's not my fault. Then the other thing I do want to recommend, I don't know if you guys are aware of this, but it's the anniversary is rapidly approaching for Lawrence of Arabia, which I watched it the other day because I had like 4 hours to kill, and I just felt like watching Peter O'Toole, and that was the first thing that I pulled off the shelf. But they have done a really nice job of restoring Lawrence of Arabia for DVD release, and I'm not sure if it's on Blu-ray yet, but I'm sure it would be. But it was made in 62, so it's got an anniversary year for it, and I'm thinking they're going to put it back in theaters. But it's still an amazingly great film. And John, have you seen it?
Which one was that?
Okay. Lawrence of Arabia?
No, I have not.
He was signing his state returns.
No. It's okay. Oh, and John, I know Lee is not here to apologize for wishing ill will upon your soundboard, but I am appalled. I'm just saying. So, anyway, Lawrence of Arabia is still amazing. And if there's ever an actor on the planet that deserves an Academy Award, not necessarily for that movie, but for just body of work, it's Peter fucking O'Toole. Why 3-6 Mafia has more Academy Awards than Peter O'Toole mystifies me. But if you've never seen it, it's long. It's an epic. You know, David Lean does these big epics. But the cinematography is great. The acting is great. You don't really have to know a whole lot of history to see it. And it's just a well-rounded, well-done film. So I do want to recommend that. Done.
So what you're saying there, it's hard out there for a pimp in Arabia.
It's not that for a period, as you would understand. So,
all right, thank you, Rob. All right, Rox, what you got?
I got a recommendation from Rob, one of his books. 420 stories written in 420 characters. Meaning,
this is about pot, isn't it?
No, what's got
420?
What about it?
You said 420. This is about.
It's this. The author is Lou Beach. He's an illustrator, actually, and he's actually done work for Wired magazine. But what he's done is he has restricted himself to 420 characters per little story. And they're really neat. There's a little, I guess he gave a copy to Terry Gilliam. And Terry Gilliam says, Lou Beach uses words with no sympathy for the reader. He bears us senseless with his brilliance. And they're really neat because it's one of those books you can just pick up, put down. And you thumb through it and you find something kind of new. And it's surreal. It's surreal writing. Very clever work. And it's... it's something anybody can really kind of practice. I mean, since we're really, they're fun. I think that's what.
Well,
you
I mean,
said,
especially yeah. since we're all kind of working toward the best 140 characters we can think of at one time.
Sure. And I think what is the limit on Facebook?
I think the limit on Facebook might be 420. I'm not sure.
Okay. So.
Maybe slightly more than that now. I think I've upped it a couple of times.
And the thing is he does count for punctuation. So, you know, there's actual punctuation and full letters and words in this book. So it's not like LOL and stuff like that. So it's,
so
really...
it's not like he's doing like Prince album titles.
Yes. No. So that's 420 by Lou Beach. That's what I've got. I've got a zine too as well. This one's great. It is called Reign of Toads. I thought you'd like that one, Rob. The editor is Kyle Silfer. It's a computer one.
I was going to say, I haven't heard of any zines about plagues, so I was kind of hoping it wasn't going that way.
No, this one guy reminisces about old computers and stuff. So that is actually kind of neat. It comes out of New York. But yeah, Reign of Toads is one. I like that one. And I believe I am done. Dang. Thank you.
Ah, yes.
Excellent. Thank you, Rox. All right, John, what have you got?
Not much. Just a quick heads up. In 2 weeks, The Muppets will be coming out on DVD. So everyone send a copy to Aaron. flood his mailbox until he eventually caves and watches it.
Maybe that and like both seasons of Flight of the Conchords.
Has he not watched Flight of the Conchords either? Did I miss that one?
I don't know, but you know, there's a connection to that. So you might as well just go ahead and throw that in.
Oh, I've got you there. Okay, I'm following. I don't think the actual problem is what's his nose? I think it's just he feels that they've abused it, but I think they've revitalized it personally. But anyway, well, send them the Muppets and the Girl with the Dragon Tattoo, which come out the same week.
And then which one?
The Swedish version.
Then he can figure out which one depresses him more.
Oh, okay.
Outside of that,
and of course, Darby O'Gill and Little People.
Yeah.
Well, I said,
and the quiet man.
and just
because that's how all of us think of Ireland.
And just for the fun of it,
I thought that was the Magdalene sisters.
Go ahead and
wow.
Go ahead and send him a copy of Happy Feet 2, and then he could be the person who watched the movie. And I believe that you can get that stuff through needcoffee.com/Amazon. I'm not sure, but something like that.
Yes, John, you can.
You think completely right.
I do. Excellent.
You do. Yes, that's right, folks, dear listeners. If you like what we do here on Weekend Justice or elsewhere on the site, remember you can support us by saving this bookmark, needcoffee.com/Amazon. Or if you're across the pond, needcoffee.com/AmazonUK. And bookmark that. When you go to that, you'll show up on the Amazon page just like nothing happened. But in the background, elves.
Now, Rich?
Yes, what? You've been talking about elves. What? Yes.
When someone does that on Amazon, even if they do the thing where they sell back to Amazon for credit, we still get kickbacks from that, right?
Well, we don't get kickbacks from them selling something to Amazon. But if they buy something from Amazon.
Someone had asked me that, and I said I would ask you.
No, but what I would say is use that bookmark for every time, even if you're going to Amazon just to window shop, because it gets you in the habit of using the link. So, yes, behind the scenes, elves, magical elves are keeping track of what you look at. And for that session, when you buy things, we get kickbacks. So it's much appreciated. So for my recommendation, I'm going to probably surprise a few people and say that coming out this week is the recent Three Musketeers film that they did.
The steampunk one?
With the crazy steampunk one. Yeah. Which I enjoyed. I thought it was fun.
But you know what? The Montgolfier brothers invented the balloon around that time.
Well, there you go.
The proto Zeppelin.
Yeah.
So I'm going to go ahead and preemptively ask, is it okay in the non-3D version? Would you suggest that or?
Well, I mean, the only reason I would say to try to watch the 3D version is because it was so very, there are films that are like Pixar that try to use 3D for depth and try to just like, try to create a more world to live in. And then there's films like, I don't know, Clash of the Titans, which try to do the same thing and fail. And then there's films that just go, fuck it, and try to just like revel in the fact that you're going to have like musket balls flying at your face and shit. All right. This is the latter.
Okay.
So I think they're getting smarter at making it so that you don't feel like you're missing out. But for me, it wasn't the best 3D I saw last year, but I had fun with it.
Because it sounded like a really fun film.
It is fun. I mean, it's just leave whatever you know about the story at the door. If all you know about the story is that there's actually three musketeers and then a kind of fourth one, and they go after Cardinal Richelieu and like shit blows up. If that's your idea of the story, you're going to have a blast.
And did I actually see ninjas in the trailer?
No.
That was a G.I. Joe
trailer.
Okay.
That was a G.I. Joe trailer.
Oh, okay. I get them mixed up.
You might have.
Yeah. That or what's its nose?
Bruce
the one
Willis?
With Jeffrey Rush.
Oh. Yeah.
Damn, ninjas. One of the best lines of that year. But anyway, no, I should you own it? No, maybe not. But I would say that, you know, since we're talking about stuff for you to do this weekend, if there's nothing that you want to catch in cinemas, then yeah, go rent it. You'll enjoy it. Netflix it, whatever.
Well, you can get it Amazon Direct, can't you?
I don't know if it's on Amazon Instant
thingy.
Video.
Yeah.
But I will say this is that, Amazon Instant Video, my wife has not watched so much Hawaii Five-O in her life. I'm just saying. We got
and
Amazon.
Started making
and there's, like what?
Hope not.
17 seasons of that damn show.
Yeah,
so she's
yeah,
been busy.
Oh, I know. I mean, she's like on season six. And what's hilarious is she calls me in there. She got like last night, she goes, come here, watch this, watch who the guest star is. And it's a very, very young, wearing a really horrible mustache, George Takei. It's hilarious. Then you go, over to another one. Oh my. Yeah, it's great.
What about Abe Vigoda? Does he show up?
Yes. Yes, he does. At least twice. You have to understand. Think about this. Cause this makes total sense to you. It's like, you know how Law and Order is kind of like the New York, working man's actor thing, or at least it was.
Right. Yeah.
This was, hey, how would you like to come be on our show and we'll fly out to Hawaii so we can, you had me in Hawaii. I'll be there.
Oh, when, yeah.
Should I be there?
See, every time I watch Hawaii Five-O, I just think that they almost, they tried to get Jack Lord to be Kirk for Star Trek.
Kind of.
And I have that in the back of my head every time I watch that show.
My problem is that he takes himself even more seriously than Shatner does.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, at least Shatner every once in a while, like, smirks, you know, to go like, I can't believe I'm getting paid to do this shit. Whereas Jack Lord is just like, ugh. You know what? Oh, here's what it is. Well, hey, Rob, one second. Before I lose the thought, memento head. I would say that if you watch Boardwalk Empire, I would say that probably Agent Nelson is the grandfather of Jack Lord's character on Hawaii. Tell me I am wrong. In fact, you know what? Let's just say that depending on I don't know how old Jack Lord's supposed to be in the Hawaii Five-O, but either he or his dad, in fact, may have already appeared in the series. Let's just put it that way.
I think Jack Lord may have played his own father.
Are you saying he's his own grandpa?
Oh, Hawaii Five-O, the time vortex.
He may have regenerated a couple of times. I'm just saying.
That's right. I am the... well, that's true.
Seventh, Garrett.
No, that would be hilarious if that's how they did the reboot of the show, is that you have somebody playing Jack Lord regenerate into the young Garrett. I would have watched that. I actually did watch the first episode. Anyway,
sorry.
All I'm saying, folks, Amazon Instant Video coupled with Amazon Prime equals holy shit, I've never watched so much of this show in my life. Hawaii Five-O, why own the DVDs? They're on Amazon Prime for free. I'm just saying. Anyway. So, yes. I think that's it. I think that, well.
You want to take a moment to tip a 40 for Shane?
I think we should. Well, you saw on Facebook, I posted some singing thanks for the memory. Because I was really sad to see him go.
And I think that was a lot classier than Boys to Men, to be honest.
Wow.
Should we do a funeral reel at the end of each season of Walking Dead?
I think Jennifer Hudson's going to be available for that, so we could get that.
Jennifer Hudson, guest starring on Walking Dead. Actually, I'm waiting to see if they still do the Thomas Jane cameo. That would be nice. Well, since he was going to play Rick Grimes, apparently, in when they were shopping at the HBO.
Yeah.
So did anyone cringe when Shane ran into that tree and you hear his nose crunch? I mean, I was
horrified. Thought that was great. I thought that was funny.
I'm like, oh, my God.
I fast forwarded.
Oh, my God, they went there.
I fast forwarded past it and then watched it backwards.
Oh,
okay. I wanted to make sure the tree didn't get hurt.
Oh, so he got his nose back?
Well, I wanted to make sure the tree didn't get killed.
Oh.
I was worried about the tree, so.
Zombie trees.
It's my thing.
Well, you know, if it's a virus, once the trees die, they're going to come back, too.
I know.
You know, this is how this you is know Shane was crazy. He didn't even wipe his mouth or anything. He just left the blood there. It's like, okay, that's not right.
You know, at a certain point, I would imagine you just go, you know what, I'm dying, fuck it. Really, there's blood on my shirt, really. Okay, that's nice.
I mean, it'd be like you walking to work with like a bloody nose and you just leave it there all day. And everyone's like, do something.
Yeah,
here's
but in the
80s. Here's a tissue. Okay. You're like, no, it's good.
Rox, let me just point out, Rox, that there's a big difference between a farm surrounded by zombies and your normal workplace.
Not hers.
I don't know. You don't work where I work.
besides that, in the 80s, you could just say, cocaine binge. And just kind of.
Just remember, folks, here's a bit of, in case you missed Help Me Rocks, here's your teaser for the next episode. If you do break your own nose against a tree, wipe your face. And don't put on a jacket.
Yeah.
If you had broken your nose, if only there was a telephone number you could call.
888.
Oh.
666-665-8825. So God. Give us a call for.
I'm sorry. Rocks. What I meant to say is, if there was just a number that you could call for broken nose help, what would that number be?
888-665-8825.
See, now when they call, they'll be like, "That's a question for Rox. Press 1. If he's broken your nose by a tree, press 2.
If Rox has broken your nose, press 4.
Press 3. Yeah."
But no, that's the thing is that you would have Rox has been known to do back alley rhinoplasty. I'm just saying.
You know, Rox, I'm just
on actual rhinos.
Shows that all you need to do is twist the nose and pop it back into place, just like a shoulder.
Also, you know, if you find yourself in the middle of a zombie apocalypse, just in case it's a virus, carry some hand sanitizer.
Lots.
No,
at least with Zombieland, they were slathering that stuff on hand sanitizer. Oh yeah.
Well, but
I love that scene.
No, that was great. But I will say this: suddenly, after realizing when they realize in the next episode that they're all already infected, washing your hands really isn't going to mean that much anymore. I know. Rocks
there's
and stupid
only
stuff.
There's only so much Old Spice can do.
Yeah, there's somebody else I want to have a cameo in the Walking Dead show. The Old Spice guy. That'd be
the
awesome.
Old Spice guy.
No, it wouldn't that be giving too much hope to them that the Old Spice guy was there saving them?
No, not as Old Spice guy as the actor. He is.
Isaiah
Mustafa. Yeah.
Okay.
But again, I. Who is like me and wants Bruce Campbell to show up in a cameo, much like Glenn Close's cameo in Hook, where you just go, she was in that movie? Yes, she was.
Yeah.
She was in that movie.
I want that, and then I want the Walking Dead Mad Men crossover we've been wanting for years.
Yeah.
And honestly,
Robert Morris is old enough.
And at this point, I can't even remember if that hasn't actually happened already.
Nice.
Oh my gosh, there was that commercial. Did anyone see it? Did you see that?
What commercial? Voice, this rocks?
There was a voiceover commercial comparing Walking Dead and Mad Men.
Yeah.
I totally forgot how that worked.
Oh, they talked about how they're led by a leader that keeps them under control, and there's the young guy that's always going on. Yeah. I forget exactly the details, but yeah, there's a thing, words, stuff.
Words.
Trailing off now.
By the way, I was going to ask John if he wanted to also recommend whatever tax software he was using.
TurboTax? No. Okay. I could recommend The Hunger Games, which I just read in over this past weekend. And of course, it is a real easy read. I liked it. I mean,
like book report with your daughter, just out of curiosity.
No, my wife and my daughter read it, and then I knew the movie was coming out, and so I was like, all right, I'll go read it. And I read it, and I liked it. I thought it was good.
So I was just lying around the house.
Of course, what I have done is, Widge, I don't know if this is age appropriate, and I meant to ask this earlier. I've gone ahead, and because I haven't read it yet, but I've heard you guys recommend it before, and I've gone ahead and reserved Ender's Game. Now, is that for my daughter to read? Now, she is 12. Is that an appropriate age?
Oh, yeah, she's fine.
Okay.
She did read Hunger Games, but it's a pretty violent book. Yeah.
I would like to see a mashup of Hunger Games and The Hunger Artist by Franz Kafka, where you have to try to kill each other but starve at the same time.
So, I could do better. That and Hunger Games and The Hunger with David Bowie. And Susan Sarandon. I would like to see a crossover of those things.
No. I've got the ultimate. The Hunger Games and Hungry, Hungry Hippos.
That would work.
Toughly. What did we learn? You have to say things with conviction. That wasn't really...
Oh, that was heinous.
We're gonna put that in development, Scott.
Oh, yes.
No, not development. Hell no.
Yeah, sorry, Scott.
No.
Wait, was that the development hell noise, or was he being?
Yeah.
No, that's me being sent to development hell. Ah!
Or were you being flushed out by Drano?
Whoa! That's not what he does to celebrate Uranus Day.
Scott's anus day.
Yeah.
Woo.
What? Yeah. Did you say boo or woo?
Woo!
I think he wooed because the idea of Drano really.
No. No.
Well, we know what you're into. Or what's
plumbing.
Into.
Plumbing.
Well, I'm versatile.
Oh my gosh, Scott, you could dress as like Luigi or Mario for.
No.
I'm your plumber.
Oh, God.
Yeah, he doesn't do mustaches very well. I think you could pull off Luigi.
No.
No.
Doesn't do mustaches very well.
He has a mustache.
Let's think about that for a moment. Or actually, let's not. All right, so...
You thought about that one too much, sir.
I
may not be able to work a mustache, but I can ride a mustache with the best of them.
Scott, thank you for taking a joke that was just under the surface and bringing it out and throttling it in front of everyone.
Hey, I'm all about being out.
He's all about the full frontal.
Yes,
wedge.
Because Scott's not about the beard.
I regret nothing.
Exactly.
Exactly.
All right. I think we should probably let people go a little bit early so we can get on with our lives. And I think we should, like we do every week, end by saying Henkel Knives.
Henkel Knives.
Goodbye, Shane.
Goodbye, Shane. Sorry that you ended your life with a Henkel knife.
Yeah. Bye, Shane. Now your brain won't hurt anymore.
He's a dick, and I don't like him.
Uh-oh! Wow!
Dag. Bye, Shane! Shane!
Oh my gosh, get this! Shane, come back!
Yes! Shane! Somebody needs to mash that up. Make it happen. Give me just a minute while I clarify.
Hi there. Many of you know me as the half-assed engineer John on Need Coffee's Weekend Justice podcast. But what most of you don't know is that before I was internationally known by tens of people, I was a patient at the Sleep Deprivation Institute, known as NeedCoffee.com. NeedCoffee.com has provided me and many of you with hundreds of hours of therapy through engaging rants, dreamcasts, reviews, contests, news of the offbeat and cool, and of course, more information about caffeine than was really necessary. Why, without Need Coffee, I might have actually seen Starship Troopers 4 bugging out. Thank you, Need Coffee, for saving me from that fate. Now, all this goodness does come at a cost, so the fine folks at Need Coffee are asking for your help. Please head over to needcoffee.com/memberships to learn what you can do to keep this invaluable resource alive. Your contribution not only will allow for more great content and more chances to win free shit, but it might just save a kitten. So as you sit there, listening to this podcast, this free podcast, sipping on your $8 Café de Frou-Frou, think about what you could have done with that money instead. Sure, you could have donated to some worthy cause, or you could keep Need Coffee and kittens alive. Your choice. Visit needcoffee.com/memberships for more details. Oh, crap. Did I record that?
And here's Dakota.
What happened?
I stopped it. This is not going nearly as well as I thought it would.